Lord, you people, is the Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeVlasis off for another day broadcast in Florida.
Listeners have reached out to me through social media asking why they didn't see you at the jump in the river over the weekend, celebrating 40 years of Friends of the River, and kind of expected you to be doing the jump, Ro. Did not see you out there amongst the leaders.
He's jumping? The jumpers? I... Let me tell you something. If I decide to jump in the river, it won't be for that.
It's going to be a really bad day.
There'll be other more complicated reasons than doing something right for people.
Than celebrating the cleanliness and improvement of the water quality.
First of all, where were they jumping in the river?
They were, let me see, they looks right here, down right by us.
It has to be pretty far east.
Yeah, let's see.
And near a stair, because you know that's the thing that there's a lot of places in this river where you go in, you can't come back out.
Yeah, some overflow issues that still are a problem, and that's one of the things they were trying to support. They were over by the Ping Tom Memorial Park, so near Chinatown.
That's Chinatown. That's
actually happened. Yeah. So,
I wouldn't be getting in down there. Woo-hoo!
I would love to picture Ro just clinging onto a kayak for dear life, like get me out of the water.
That would be,
it smells.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's a part of the river that's not, I don't know what's happening over by Ping Tom, but that ain't right. Anything that's 5 feet west of the locks, I don't totally trust. And it's lake water that's going in to clean up the river water. Now, I just want to stop. Would you take a glass over to the lake and put it in and then have a sip? I don't think so.
They're not drinking it. They're swimming in it.
Would you also drink pool water, Ro? That's not a really good comparison. Come on.
I know, but I still don't want to. There's any of it in my eyeballs or anything.
In your orifices?
Right. Oh. My belly button? It's going to sneak in that way. I don't want my ears. Are you kidding me? I don't need that.
So they're talking about how they need to think about stormwater management and keeping the pollution out of the river, but that
it's hugely improved
over the years, and that's why it was safe to jump in the river.
Right.
Such bravery from our politicians.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the river, you're right, because the river used to be just oil slicks and fecal grease balls just going up and down the river. That was it.
Like, what's that?
Yeah. And then,
Mommy, what's that?
Right. And then there were parts of the river you drive by it and the river would smell. I mean, because there were like tanneries and stuff up on the near northwest side. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've seen that three-eyed orange fish from The Simpsons in there one time.
No question about it.
Quite possible.
Yeah. I mean, the best part of the Chicago River is when you get up, like, into whatever it is, like, Evanston or Morton Grove or wherever, and it's like the forest reserves, and it turns into a little creek.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, oh, look, it's the Chicago River. And you're like, that's not the Chicago River.
That's not what it looks like.
What are you talking about? Oh, no, that's the Chicago River. I go, I can walk across it.
But even those creeks I grew up with the Des Plaines River basically in my backyard. It was don't go in the river. No rivers are safe. Stay out of the river.
Right, that's true. Right.
It's very true.
Rivers,
but now we're celebrating down by the river. There's new restaurants that are popping up all the time. You've got this luxury Vista Tower just to our east here that's going up, and they're beautifying down below to the eastern portion of the river. So, the walkway is real.
Sure, the walkway is real, but that's not
just
the river.
Jump in.
Right? I mean, there's a lot of things that you're next to that are beautiful that you wouldn't want to get in.
But you don't want it to smell either, and I don't think it does anymore.
No, it doesn't smell. I don't smell it as much anymore. It's not 100%, but
depends on the day.
Yeah, there's a bit of a pallor to it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to swim in any of that.
No. When it rains, it's kind of like a wet dog. It's got a weird smell after that, because whatever's in there gets churned up.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen those, like, black spots?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a little eerie.
Mm-hmm. That's the fecal grease ball right there.
Mm-hmm. Unidentified objects.
Right.
Sort of
just
like,
floats to the top.
What's that?
Right.
What's that?
There's some stuff down there you just don't want to know.
No.
No.
No, there's a lot down there.
I've thrown a few things in it over the years.
You have?
Mm-hmm.
Valuables?
Mm-hmm.
Like a blue stone? Like the heart of the ocean?
No, not like that. No.
What have you thrown in there?
What have you thrown in there?
Thrown a few cell phones. I've thrown Let's see what else. I'm admitting to some sort of crime, aren't I? When I'm doing this,
especially if they're burner phones. Were they burners?
No, they were just. I was just done with them, and I'm like, I'm walk out of the Apple store, and you're like, you can either give this to like a guy who's going to steal your identity, or you can throw it in the river, right? I mean, that's so. I decided to throw it in the river, and then I let's see what else. Oh, and a couple pieces of jewelry that you know had lost their meaning. If you know what I mean.
Oh boy,
fight with a girlfriend.
Yeah, whatever.
Hang up on her. Throw the phone.
Yeah, whatever. Sort of. Thing like that. So anyway, so I guess I have contributed to the to whatever's gone wrong in the river.
People are going
to
be searching for expensive jewelry now.
Like, wait
in
a
the
minute.
Middle of the night, you're going to have divers in the
luck.
River.
Hey, if you're willing to go find it, it's all yours.
Where's the Rokan ring? Probably expensive.
It wasn't that expensive. Oh, it was expensive. But not that kind of expensive. Right. You can't go find that ring and then find an expense related to it. It wouldn't be worth the dive. The phone, though, is my favorite thing to do. You go swap out the phone. You just toss it. It's sort of like, oh, we'll take that. We'll recycle it. The hell you will! All right.
It's all being cleaned up now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And another peek into the twisted mind of Rokan right there. All happening in one swell foop. All right. Coming up, Joe Donlan's going to join us.
Nice.
Oh, very interesting story about concealed carry, actually. He's got about Illinois. And the vaping crisis deepens and what the federal government's about to do about it. He's going to tell us both of those stories coming up. But first, let's check in with Kim. What's happening in the news at the bottom of the hour?
After a war of words with Senator Ted Cruz last week, Mayor Lightfoot has invited him to Chicago. We'll explain coming up.
Oh, yes. Not coming here. The Illinois Department of Transportation brings you Lauren's traffic.
Celebrate 25 years of Chicago's television's number one morning show. Watch a live two-hour special full of memorable moments on the WGN-TV Morning News 25th Anniversary Special. It's all Tuesday night. That's tomorrow. Oh, no, next week, September 17th. At 7 p.m.
Oh, this I confuse the issue here. Oh,
yeah, I thought it was time to get ready for tomorrow, but it's actually next week. We're looking ahead. Put that on the schedule.
Joe Donlan looks only 1 minute ahead in his life. That's as far ahead as he can see.
And even then, I have trouble.
It's a lot to balance sometimes, right?
That's right. That's all I need.
That's true.
Where am I heading, and when do I need to be there?
Is there a car heading at me? Those are the only two things I worry about.
Yeah.
All right, so a couple different things are coming up on the WGN-TV News starting at 4 o'clock tonight and somehow working its way all the way until, 10:30.
Right. Well, actually, we have Cubs baseball tonight at 9, so we have a newscast at 8. Oh. So it'll be a little earlier evening than normal for us.
So it's 4, 5, 6, and 8.
Right, exactly.
And are we going to have Blackish at 7? What do we have at 7?
Probably, yeah.
Yes.
Or Last Man Standing.
Last Man Standing,
I should probably know that, but I don't.
I don't know either.
I think it's Blackish.
It's both. It's both of them in that. Yeah. That
and then do you go on after the Cubs game or no? There's no more. Okay, you're done.
We're finished after the 8 o'clock show.
Go drinking on the deck. All right, listen.
Let's meet it.
Let's talk about concealed carry data points. That have just popped up here. There's a whole debate about this throughout the nation, but also in Illinois.
Right, yeah, and it's becoming more of an issue. And the Tribune just did a series of special investigations on it as well. We did one a few months ago that looked into several of these issues. And the fact is the number of concealed carry shootings is increasing steadily. And the bottom line is that people have these concealed weapons and more of them are willing to use them, which is, I guess, arguably the reason they got them in the first place. But in our investigation, we talked with an attorney who made some really interesting points. He represents people who have concealed carry licenses and are involved in shootings. He says too many people think this concealed carry license is essentially a license to kill. And in fact, it comes with a lot of responsibility. And this is what we're seeing, some fear that without more oversight, it's leading to more shootings that are unjustified. You've heard about several of them here recently where a man shot another man who insulted his girlfriend. There was a woman who got into an argument with her boyfriend and fired at him as he drove away, missing him and hitting and killing someone else. So these the lawyer would say, listen, this is not the, the openness to just shoot at anyone you see.
Well, if anybody has taken the concealed carry class, I explain that to you.
I would think so.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So even
if you know what the rules are.
Right. The most recent case where you had the 75-year-old homeowner who came out and fired into a group of teenagers, he thought was stealing their car. The lawyer would argue that this is also... In fact, when I heard about that...
Well, they did steal the car, though. You're talking about the one up in the North Shore?
Right, exactly. But yeah. The lawyer would say, you're even in dangerous territory there because your life isn't being threatened. Someone's stealing your car from outside.
Right.
Is that a reason you can open fire on them?
It actually technically isn't, unless you're in front of the auto.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And as it came to find out, this group had a knife involved. So it was complicated. And now, as we know, some of these teens have been charged as an accessory to this other teenager's murder who was killed in the shooting. So it's really dangerous territory when you have a concealed carry license. And I think the lawyer's point was you really need to know that because two people who had concealed carry licenses have already been charged with murder. So, again, it's just something to keep in mind. If you do have this concealed carry, most would tell you that the reason they have it is because they'd rather be judged by 12 and carried by 6, is the old saying. But at the same time, it comes with a tremendous amount of responsibility.
So you are finding, or this Tribune investigation, your own investigation, Joe, you're finding that people are facing charges when they are unlawfully using their concealed weapon.
Well, when they're using them, yes, we'll say that the unlawfully part is still to be determined. But at least two of the concealed carry holders also have been shot and killed after they pulled guns on people who had pulled guns to protect themselves. So there's that side of it as well. Now, you could probably make the argument that maybe they would have been shot and killed anyway had the person who had pulled the gun on them actually opened fire. But 23 in the last year, shootings involving people with concealed carry licenses.
Here in Illinois.
Yes. Do you know what the percentage of the state population is that has a concealed carry? What would you guess?
I'd say that's a very small percent.
I am going to guess, because he's asking the question.
I know, he's going to try to surprise us with a big number, but I think it's still going to be a small number.
You're overthinking it, Ro.
All right. I think it's 4 or 5%.
All right.
That is right. It's 2%. It's lower than that. 300,000 Illinois residents, though, so still a significant number. But I think the takeaway from this is more and more people who have the guns obviously have the willingness to use them. And they'd like to see a little more oversight into how they're being used.
Well, especially because it seems the numbers are growing in terms of concealed carry licenses being issued across the state. I keep reading that their numbers are rising. People are, you know, doing this. They want this. And it seems as if you have more and more people with a concealed weapon, you might need some oversight.
Right, exactly. And that's the point of the TRIBS investigation as well. So we'll see where that goes. But clearly more and more people, as you mentioned, Anna, have them and are getting the license and are, in fact, using the weapons.
Mm. Oh, boy. All right. There we go. All right, let's talk about, finally, Dick Durbin is calling on the FDA, specifically calling on the head of the FDA to try to stop, take immediate action on vaping.
Right.
And they've just issued a guidance on Juul, the Juul product, right?
Right.
So where does this go from here?
Well, I think they're going to try to lean on the FDA, to lean on these e-cigarette and vape manufacturers to try to cut down on vaping in general. And Dick Durbin said today, if we don't strictly enforce the regulations against the vape industry, he called it big vape, you know, akin to big tobacco.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then he wants the commissioner to step down. So, you know, the thing that's scary about this is even, let's just say, you know, over the years with young people smoking, you wouldn't have the sort of immediate effects that we're seeing with vaping. We've had 5 people die, one in Illinois, and they've been young. I think the average age has been around 22. So these really strange respiratory problems and serious problems.
Sudden onset. In some cases, it becomes irreversible. There's organ damage, and then they're gone.
So all of this is concern. And I think, you know, for people to say that it's not marketed toward teens, when you consider the flavors that are being used, and then some of these are using these to deliver marijuana as well.
Right.
And you look at the numbers too, big tobacco, these younger smokers, those numbers are down because a lot of these kids are vaping, I think in some respect, because many of them might think it's maybe not as serious as smoking, mm-hmm. or maybe not as addictive, or maybe it's cooler. But for whatever reason, more and more young kids are vaping, and we're seeing the health impacts. And I think right now, everyone from Congress and on down is sort of looking at this saying, hey, kids, this is really problematic, and you need to stop immediately.
Well, that's the central issue. You just said it, the safe alternative. I just heard the PSA from Juul today on our radio station, where they were saying it's a safe alternative. We too don't want kids to be doing it, but this is for adults, and it's a safe alternative to cigarettes. And now the FDA has issued a warning to them saying, you can't say that when you got people dying and having heart and you know, pulmonary issues, and 450 people in the hospital who've used it a small number of times. It's a difficult claim to make.
Well, there was a moment where there was a certain, I don't want to say the name of the company, but I know that in the 1960s, what started this issue took cigarettes off of television in terms of advertising, there was one cigarette that claimed it was healthier than the others,
mm-hmm.
right? That they consider themselves a safe alternative, and you're like, and then, you know, it's one of those things where people, even doctors who were, you know, suggesting cigarettes a day, you know, were safe, were like, whoa, you cannot say that. There's no such thing as a safe cigarette.
Well, the other thing too is I think it was initially, and I haven't used the product, so I don't know, but as I recall, when it first came out, it was sort of marketed as an effective way to transition off of cigarettes
right.
into something different.
Right.
And I think maybe people assumed that that would help you quit smoking. But in the end, it's still the delivery of nicotine, which, as we know, is an addictive agent.
And I don't know that it's such a convincing argument either for Juul to say that they don't market to teenagers when it comes in watermelon flavor,
right.
strawberry milk, and strawberry lemonade. And then the other alternative, there's not Juul, but the competing brands even come in even more, like bubblegum and things like that. The flavors seem pretty much geared toward, you know, younger people.
Right, yeah.
We know what they're doing.
We understand what's going on here, right?
Joe Camel. We get it.
Right. Yeah.
We see it.
Yeah.
We understand.
All right. That's all right. But they used to make the television anchors smoke cigarettes on the set
That's
and then
right.
talk about them.
I am amazed by that. I don't remember that. Is that like 1960s?
Yeah, it was a long time ago. Joe, what was your first cigarette on
Murrow
set?
Murrow was the big... What didn't Murrow use smoking heaters on
well, yeah.
set, was
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Right.
What was my first what?
Yeah, what was your first... What?
Did you have a cigarette on set ever?
No.
Do you vape on set now?
That's right. Yeah.
They're going to make us do that. Listen, I don't want to give them any ideas, but that'll be the new thing.
This segment sponsored by...
Right.
Isn't this bubblegum delicious, Anna?
Yeah. Mine's watermelon.
It's terrible.
Yeah. Not into the vaping myself.
We will see you tonight. We'll see you, Joe Downland.
Yeah, just turn it on. I'll be there.
What, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and 8 o'clock tonight on WGN-TV.
Right. And All Ben's right. back tomorrow.
All right. Well, thanks.
All right. Always good to talk to you guys.
All right,
bye.
You too, Joe.
There he goes. Joe Downland.
Such right a nice there. Guy.
He has none of us, though. Do you ever notice that?
He's what?
He has none of us. It's that sort of like, all right, I got to go. He's all business.
Because he knows you and Kev are dying to be his best friend.
It's creeped out.
So did he ever accept the bracelet you made him?
No.
The friendship bracelet?
No.
Stuff like that weirds somebody out.
The cop showed up again last night when I was on his patio watching him watch TV. I don't know why they keep showing up. I'm like, I'm just here with my best friend. He's watching TV. I'm watching him watch TV. It was a nice night.
Hey, it's Sunday Night Football, okay?
Look at Joe. He's perfect. He's watching football.
And he's watching a perfect football team.
The gate was open.
All right.
You are not 100 yards away from the residence, sir.
We have to stay out of the municipality now, which is hard. Increasingly difficult.
Yeah. Love you, Joe.
All right. Let's check in with Kim Gordon. She's got the WGN News right now, being brought to you by Green Tea Services.
Camp David held meetings with a lot of people that would have been perceived as being pretty tough customers and pretty bad people. There have been plenty of so-called bad people brought up to Camp David for meetings. And the alternative was the White House, and you wouldn't have been happy with that either.
What an interesting weekend it has been. You know, the funny story, the funny thing about this particular story for me is that I get that they should be in negotiations with all of the stakeholders in Afghanistan. I don't blame them for doing that. I don't blame them for being in secret negotiations with them, because at some point this war does have to end and we do have to move. I mean, we've got our own folks over there with, I think, 16,000 right now of U.S. troops are in the region in Afghanistan in support of all of those ongoing operations there. And we do have to rethink what we're doing there. And hopefully Afghanistan can, and I say this almost knowing that what I'm saying is a ridiculous premise, but that Afghanistan will have to stand on its own two feet and become a viable state, not a failed state. It has been a failed state. It has never really been a state. It's always been just a union of tribes forever and ever and ever. And when foreign governments, foreign armies, former foreign entities try to come in and control it, whether it's their neighbors or it's, you know, people from further away,
mm-hmm.
we... they have always repelled them. The British, the Russians, us. It's for in the last 140 years, the history of Afghanistan has been has been one of not a conquerable place. First of all, because of its terrain. Secondly, because there's almost no way to build an infrastructure. People live in high ground in heavily armed tribes that have been heavily armed by the Pakistanis and the Indians, the Russians, the Americans, the whoever it is along the way. And we now have tried to do something. I don't blame, it's going to shock a lot of people. I don't blame the president for trying to get to the bottom of this. I do find, though, that his style of shoot from the hip negotiations that he does, doesn't really want to be prepared for them, just makes decisions that are going to be more tactical and Hollywood-esque in terms of their solution. They don't work. Not a lot works with Afghanistan, but that certainly doesn't work. And bringing them, I understand bringing them to Camp David, bringing the Taliban to Camp David on the week of September 11th is a bad idea. Raja Krishnamurthy is with us. He's a congressman from Illinois. Mm-hmm. And your thoughts on what we learned here.
Well, thanks so much, Ronan. And I think you were spot on that I think the notion of trying to bring this war to an end and bring our troops home is a good one. But the way that he executes on this and pretty much everything, you talk about the trade war or this never-ending war in Afghanistan or anything else, is really poor. And the reason why it's poor is when you do this shoot-from-the-hip kind of style, what ends up happening is, the people that you're negotiating with start to not trust whom they're dealing with. And they start to play games. They start to wait you out. I think that's what's going on with the Chinese in part. And, I think that the Taliban know that that time is on their side. And so unfortunately, the other factor I just want to mention very briefly is that there's a guy named John Bolton in the White House who is the biggest war hawk you'll ever meet. And apparently he is also behind tubing these negotiations. And he doesn't want to do a deal in Afghanistan, and he wants to start a war in Iran. And so, when you have all these factors, it's very unfortunate that we're where we are.
Bringing the Taliban on American soil, is that the biggest problem for you, or is it just the anniversary and the significance of bringing them to Camp David the week of September 11th?
Yeah, that's not a good idea. I think that there has to be another time that you can do this. And you also have to do it when you're ready to do a final deal. And it looks like none of that was in place.
It's interesting that you've got the vice president's office. It was leaked that the vice president's office had opposed this. The right. Vice president had opposed this when he was discussing bringing the Taliban here to Camp David. There was John Bolton was opposed to it as well.
Right.
They made it really, really clear. And then there was a confusing statement from the vice president's office just a couple of hours ago that indicates that the stories that have come out are not 100% true. Now, the question is, what stories is he talking about and what is not 100% true? And, the vice president, it seems to me, may be in an awkward position here, starting with the Irish story, because the president had to
yes.
comment on it today when he was going to the helicopter.
Yes.
That was
yes.
completely responsible. That was Mike Pence's idea. Mike Pence has family in the town in which Trump's resort is, and so that made complete sense. And he had no idea about it. But yet, just 4 days ago, Mark Short, the spokesman for the vice president, said it was Trump's idea to have him stay there. So they are in conflict. My guess is that Mark Short is a short-termer at the vice president's office, because they seem to be telling a story that's different than what the White House wants, that the president, POTUS, wants to tell.
This is part of a bigger narrative. You may have seen this in the news today, but surprise, surprise, the president appears to not only have asked folks like Mike Pence's staff to have him stay at the resort in Turnberry, in Scotland. But also, it appears that various members of the armed forces who were traveling from North America to the Middle East or vice versa stopped at this strange airport close by the resort to refuel their military planes, and then they stayed at Turnberry as well. And this is just bizarre. This is not only potentially unconstitutional because there's a clause in the Constitution called the Domestic Emoluments Clause, which prohibits the president from receiving any business or compensation from the federal government apart from his salary. It looks very unethical to me. And, you know, the military is probably one of the most respected institutions in America. And this only tarnishes their image. So, you know, it's just another instance of the president trying to profit at the taxpayers' expense.
Well, it'll be interesting to see who made those decisions, because if this is if they've never landed at this base before on refueling, because those missions to the Middle East are very common, the question is, when did that change? Is there paperwork? Who made the suggestion that they stop there? Who made the suggestion that they stay at those resorts? And, you know, we kind of go along that down that road. I just, you know, the whole idea here would have been so much easier if the president had just legitimately, instead of just telling us he did it and not doing it, but legitimately stepped away from his own business enterprises, or said, listen, just because there may be the appearance of impropriety, I do not wish for any of the government agencies to be using my properties while I am president of the United States. Before or after is fine, but not while during, because that would seem to be an ethical violation. And we should definitely not be having the G7 summit there, or the G8 summit, where I'm going to have my friend Vladimir Putin back in. I mean, the whole thing is just, none of it makes any sense, but don't get me started. All right, let me...
Can I pipe in for a second?
Yeah.
And by the way, every president before Donald Trump, Republican and Democrat, have made that their practice, what you just said, which is, put their assets in a blind trust or divest themselves of those assets. But B, if those assets somehow are within their purview, that the government doesn't do business with them. And, you know, this is just something that is deeply, deeply disturbing, to say the least.
Yeah. All right. And now there is some talk, as you guys are back, Congress is back in session now. Or starting tomorrow, right? I guess officially you guys are back in Washington.
Tonight, yeah. We have our first votes tonight.
So the question is, as we move forward here, there's some talk about whether or not there are enough votes to get an impeachment inquiry started. Now, that's different than an impeachment proceeding. This is just an inquiry. It's an investigation. But, you know, a lot of the conversation today, I saw you earlier on CNN discussing this, a lot of the conversation today is that I think that most Americans are not going to know or understand or even consider there to be a difference between an inquiry and then an active attempt to impeach the president. And the political ramifications of either are the same, which is everybody retreats to their corners. And it probably does help the president in some way in terms of solidifying his base and fundraising, certainly on that notion. Where do you stand on it, and what do you see the outcome politically?
So, as you know, we had August recess, so I was at home in Illinois for almost all of that time, and I had a chance to talk to my constituents and others. And I think people see the distinction between having an investigation to expose wrongdoing, to prevent it from happening again, and to hold accountable those who engage in it, and then on the other hand, beginning an actual impeachment, filing articles of impeachment. I support the former as of now, and I think that others that I talk to agree with that stance. I think that we learn more and more just through the kind of evidence discovery process. And, you know, things like what we talked about just now with regard to the conflicts of interest appearing in the emoluments clause and so forth, those are things that really bother my constituents. And I think that they want to make sure that we get that out into the sunlight.
Well, it'll be interesting because no matter what, I mean, the more action, the one thing that the president has been incredibly good at is finding a way that no matter what he's good at jujitsu. You know, whatever comes at him, he, you know, punches back hard. And then he seems to find an energy in doing that. And he seems to find a number of cohorts that will say, oh, yeah, you know, either they're afraid of him because they don't want to get in his way, or they love the action of it and are, you know, a part of it. And the question is, you know, what the people who stand up for what were traditional Democratic and American values and traditional ways of doing business, as let's just go back to that issue of the emoluments, or, you know, again, a term that we never had thought about until 2016. But the idea of, you know, a president's personal business benefiting from the government, you know, that
right.
Nobody would think. No, I don't know anybody. Especially the Tea Party folks and all the people that, you know, were so opposed to, you know, that conservatives that were aggrieved by anything that liberals were doing would stand up for that. Right. I mean, that was
correct.
Always the concern about the Kennedy family and about the Clintons doing, you know, Bill Clinton, that whole Whitewater thing was about using political influence to enrich themselves. I mean, isn't that the entire idea of what's going on here? Why doesn't anybody stop and say that? All right, I got to go. Thank you, Congressman.
Thanks,
appreciate
Congressman.
It.
Okay.
Have fun
care.
In D.C.
Bye. Yeah.
Get a lot
we'll
done.
Do.
Yeah,
we'll do.
Yeah. Who doesn't?
Yeah. Well, that's probably true.
All right, let's check in with Kim. What's coming up at the bottom of the top of the hour in the news?
Roe Mayor Lightfoot says the police department has to reel in overtime expenses. We'll bring you the details coming up.
Coming up, your chance to win a family four-pack of tickets to see the Sox take on the Indians on Tuesday, September 24th, their last homestand at 7:10 p.m. is when that game starts. Get tickets at WhiteSox.com or 866-SOX-GAME. Tune in every Monday after 4 for your chance to win four tickets to a White Sox game. All right. That is the way that's going to go. We have coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, A.B. Stoddard will be here after 4:40. We have some thoughts on other wacky things that happened over the weekend coming up right after Kim's News, which is 2 minutes away.
I'm sure the next question is, have I heard yet from Senator Cruz? I have not, but I've invited him to come to Chicago. I'd love for him to walk the streets in the West Side and the South Side with me if he really wants to do something to be helpful. But if he wants to talk about Chicago, come on, come here. We'll welcome him. And we'll take him and let him see firsthand.
I don't think I want to go.
Are you afraid, Ted Cruz?
It's kind of scary. Because there's a lot of people don't look like me there.
Yeah, that would be interesting to see Senator Cruz walk the streets of the West Side.
Yes, it would.
I don't see it happening. And beside the point, he has to prepare for his summit with Alyssa Milano tomorrow night, so he's busy right now.
Oh, is that going on?
It's going on tomorrow. That's scheduled. His gun summit.
I just like to look in her eyes, because I find her very, very, very pretty. I think she'd be... I think we could talk about guns.
I see no good coming out of this whole thing.
I don't. But I'm just saying, no, I started to think about this, and when I heard Lori Lightfoot say this, and I like how Lori Lightfoot, she's a carrot and stick kind of individual. Have you noticed that? She likes to smack people in the head. That's the new style of American politics, right? We're in the take no prisoners era of political communication in America. And so she, you know, when she was, you know, take our name out of your mouth, you know, sort of thing. Mm-hmm. It's pretty direct political communication. However, now this whole like carrot, hey, come on, come here. We can talk about things. And well, I'd like to show you what people who don't look like you look like.
You can see the problem firsthand, right? If you want to. Maybe he'll come. Maybe he'll surprise us all. He'll be there.
Now, I was just thinking, where would be some good places to take Ted Cruz around Chicago? Right? I mean, you know, you got your standards. Right? You got to sort of, you know, let's take him over to the planetarium.
Uh-huh.
So he can look at space.
Riverwalk, because the weather's nice.
Riverwalk's very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Could take a dip.
Does remind me very much of San Antonio. Or as we like to call it, San Antone.
He's from Canada, okay?
I know. It's all making sense.
That's the damnedest thing. And his father killed Kennedy. Isn't that what Donald Trump said?
Oh, gosh. I think Donald Trump did say that.
Yes.
Yes.
Right? So why should I trust a word that this man has to say?
Well, did you see Mayor Lightfoot had an op-ed piece in the Washington Post today saying, yeah, I got into this, like, you know, tit for tat with Senator Cruz, and now game on. All of our weapons are coming across the border. Try to help us solve our problems. See it up close, and maybe we'll get something. We'll get somewhere together. So she's doubling down on that whole challenge.
Here's what we do. We tell him he's going to Indiana, and we take him to Chicago instead. We have him land at the Gary Airport in some, you know, private government jet of some sort.
He won't know which way is which, right? You turn one way.
And then you get on the Skyway, you go the other way. And you come across, and I say you start, you get right off at Indianapolis Boulevard, and you take them right into the alphabets right there. Oh. You start right there.
Okay.
You take them through. There's some amazing, I mean, I don't know that Ted Cruz has ever had really great Mexican food.
Well, he's in Texas.
I know. But that's not great Mexican food. That's Tex-Mex.
I think there's good Mexican food.
But do you know that he takes it, that he eats it? I don't think he does.
I don't know. I'd imagine.
It kind of scares me.
He likes queso.
The spiciness sometimes upsets my stomach, but I do love queso.
That's well documented.
Is queso really Mexican?
It's more of like a fun, like Tex-Mexy kind of place.
Right, it's all about the Chihuahua cheese. That is like my favorite Mexican cheese.
Oh, Chihuahua.
How does that?
I love a Chihuahua dog.
Oh.
Small, but it's mighty.
Can't get the visual of it dripping down his chin. That's the
That's his nickname. Call me Chihuahua.
Call me Chihuahua. I'm a bad Chihuahua. Oh, I think I need to be disciplined. I'm kind of yappy, and I'm not doing everything I'm told to do. And, oh, I'm just so sort of impudent. Yeah, that's it.
What? Did you just merge two words there?
Yes, I don't know what I just did. I don't know what he just did. But that's his thing. All right, so we start down there. We get him and take him down Commercial Avenue, show him the way Chicago kind of operates.
Mm-hmm.
You can explain to him exactly the history of Commercial Avenue, and you take him to some. I'll tell you what I'd like to see. You know, Ted Cruz likes to be that man of the people when the president lands at an airport in Texas. He's always standing there on the tarmac, and he's wearing like that hunting jacket, and he just wants to be like Ted Cruz ever went out and shot anything, right? I don't see Ted Cruz doing that.
Oh, it's also bloody. Oh. Don't touch it.
708. Ted Cruz needs to spend the night in Englewood like Jane Byrne when she moved into the Cabrini Green housing.
Yeah.
This would be the way to really get to know the neighborhood.
We could explain that, yeah.
Oh, it's so loud around here. Why is everybody shooting?
Why are there fireworks going on?
I don't know what to do.
Is there a celebration?
Uh-oh.
Get him a motel room.
Is this 5-star? No.
Here you go, Senator. Good luck.
I think the dining would be interesting to see what he chooses. You know?
Any room service? No.
Sorry, Senator.
Room service? I feel like that would be a fun thing to do. You go, all right, we'll go to take him to the gun shops in Indiana and show him. Like, actually, let's take him with a straw purchaser to Indiana. Well, you know, we'll find a guy named Tank or Bear. Or Lefty, or whatever. I don't know. What, you know, everybody has to have a nickname. Well, you know, Tank will take him to a gun shop in Indiana. They'll buy a bunch of guns.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get in the car. They'll drive across the border. Let's go to Englewood. Let's sit down in Englewood, right? And then they distribute out the guns to the gangbangers, you know, for rental. You know, it's like, you know, $20 for an hour, you know, per gangbanger, fully loaded. You got to bring it back. You know, if you got a bolt, you got a bolt. There's nothing we can do about it. And then we have Ted sleep in a house, in a aluminum-sided house on a street, not a brick home, aluminum-sided home on a street with instead of a window, just sort of the plastic sheeting that's over it, and you just hope for the best.
He's shaking in the fetal position.
I don't know what to do. I got to get in the bathtub. Where's the bathtub?
It turns out the bathtub's just a bath liner.
It's just a bath liner. What am I going to do? Oh, they're shooting.
Sadly, that's actual gunfire from one night in Chicago, and that's exactly how it sounds for some of the residents who live around there.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think it'd be eye-opening for him. I don't think it would change anything for him, though. I mean, because, right? Does this change anything?
No.
I don't think minds are changed. I don't think,
Yeah, he's got to stick to his rhetoric, just like the rest of them.
Yep, like or any supporter. Again, these are people who, the people who are most dedicated to that position are people who live, this is an actuarial, this is a socio-political, statistical reality. They tend to live in homes where they are over a half a mile away from each other. That's mm-hmm. where the biggest support for gun rights, gun ownership exists. That's in by percentage. And a lot of people live in cities that, you know, like the idea of it too. But the biggest number is for people who live in isolated places, more isolated. They're not very close. They're not encountering neighbors on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not how urban living is. And urban living is different, and people are tight. And it's one thing to say, hey, I'm going to protect my farm, or I'm going to protect my house, or I'm going to protect my ranch, or I'm going to protect, you know, whatever it happens to be. And then a whole other thing is I'm going to walk up and down the street with one because I'm going to have to shoot somebody if they look at me funny because they're likely to kill me, which is what happens here in the Wild West of Chicago.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure the mayor accomplished too much either with her op-ed piece, but I think that the one point that maybe is not repeated and when nationally people talk about Chicago is about this issue of the guns coming over the border. And so I think that point is an important one. She's saying gun legislation will solve that. I think Senator Cruz would argue it doesn't solve anything, but she put out those stats that showed just how many of our guns originate in Indiana, Mississippi, Wisconsin. They come over the border.
Right. I think if you look at gun deaths in also, look at Hawaii, an isolated state.
Mm-hmm.
you're not going to see the same. You're not going to see the per capita numbers there that you see like in Chicago,
right?
In Honolulu versus Chicago. And Honolulu, there are some dangerous parts of Honolulu. There's no question about it. But when we say dangerous parts, it means you're
a drive-by pineappling.
It is not the same. It is not the same. So that's night one with Ted Cruz. So then we get him out of Englewood.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think we give him a break. We take him down. We put him in a nice hotel downtown. And then we take him out for a night of partying in Chicago. And then see what really happens.
Get him liquored up.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Ted Cruz? A few margaritas in him and some queso.
I'd like to have a Tia Maria, please. I would like a little glass. I like to sip Tia Maria. Oh, she said, I love that name, Maria.
I would love to have him rent a car and see him try to navigate Lower Wacker.
That would be something. Right.
It's like, my GPS won't work. I don't know what to do.
And my cell phone doesn't work either. What am I going to do?
Take him to Triangle. Let him creep.
I think that would be the next step.
Let's
he'd make a lot of friends, actually.
I want to sit outside a tavern on Rush and just watch the ladies walk by. Oh, isn't she pretty? Look at her. Oh, look at... Why is that man with his great-granddaughter?
That'd be an experience for him.
Oh, look at the Lamborghini. It just keeps going around in a circle.
Can he not find parking?
Excuse me, ma'am. Were you in a movie? You look really familiar. Oh, wait. I shouldn't know that.
Oh, I understand there's a nice nightclub we could go to a little later on.
Concrete Cowboy, Senator? Are you interested in going to the Concrete Cowboy? Are you free tonight?
I have a friend who works there. His name's Boris.
He must like the cowboy in the name, you know? He could wear his cowboy boots. Fit right in.
I like to go to anything that's with the cowboy. I like the idea of it a lot.
All right.
I don't see it happening. I don't see it solving anything.
Yeah.
But it would be fun to watch.
I want to just put him up in a hotel and then check what his pay-per-view bill was. That's what I want to know.
Oh, you mean what his staffers and aides select on his...
Damn interns, buy the pay-per-view again.
Just the way they're on his Twitter feed liking videos that maybe they shouldn't be liking. But it's not him. It's them that he's got a big problem with, his staffers.
They just click away.
Right,
they're probably, always buying the pay-per-view.
I accidentally landed on porn again.
Damn, remote controls are so confusing these days.
I was going for Mourn Hub for Mormons. That's what I was going for. Okay. I thought that was a hub for Mormons. I'm not even, but I just want to be, you know, I don't want anybody thinking that I went to the wrong place.
Pornhub's got to be his homepage. Opens the browser, gets the day going. Let's cut to the chase. We know where you're going, Senator.
Oh, that is a bad stepmom right there. I'm going to say that right now. That stepmom should not be teaching her stepson that, even though he is on the football team.
He's the star quarterback.
I wonder where his dad is.
All right, let's check in with Kim and find out what's going on in the newsroom at the bottom of the hour.
President Trump is giving more details on canceled talks with the Taliban. We'll bring you the latest coming up.
Celebrate 25 years of Chicago Television's number one morning show. Watch a live two-hour special full of memorable moments on the WGN-TV Morning News 25th Anniversary Special. Tuesday night, September 17th at 7 p.m.
All right, right now, I got a family four pack of tickets to give away. Caller number 10, 312-981-7200. Rips us off for tickets to go see the White Sox take on the Cleveland Indians on Tuesday, September 24th. There's still some game tickets available for the rest of the season. Go to WhiteSox.com for those, or 866-SOX-GAME. Tomorrow night is dog night, right?
Oh, you get to bring your dog to the park night. I love that.
They do that a couple times a year, I think, right? Mm-hmm. Two or three times a year.
That is so fun.
This will be the last of the season, last time you get to bring the dogs. If you're allergic, it's going to be a problem.
Well,
they stay out in the bleachers.
Oh, that's
dogs
are
not allowed in the concourse.
Yeah, I think you have to go through a certain gate because they kind of block off. It's like the center field concourse. They got the little doggy pads with the fake fire hydrant out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's good walk around.
Pitbull night.
Giving pitbulls a bad name. They're not all like that.
I love pitbulls.
I do too.
I love them. I love bulldogs. Bulldogs of all sorts. Mm-hmm. I am in favor of them. I'm just saying, though, you see a high percentage of those in German Shepherds, the White Sox. You know,
there's some spiky collars.
Let me just tell you, there's a difference between Cubs.
I see
dogs,
golden doodles at the Cubs.
Yeah,
game.
Golden mm-hmm. doodles and teacup. You know, poodles and
little Frenchies.
Like that. Right, little things. Right.
See,
cute. Designer dogs. You know, dog that costs.
Dogs not used to actually walking on the ground.
Right, $6,000
purses.
Yes. You see those. You see sturdy dogs that know how to maintain a perimeter.
Yeah, sure.
Except when they're in a stadium.
That's when they go a little crazy.
A lot of dogs named Spike.
Right. Right. Rocky.
Rocky, yeah.
lots of dogs like that, yeah.
Uh-huh.
As opposed to Tiffany. Tiffany! Tiffany! And then also you will see aging golden retrievers at Cubs games.
Yeah.
You see a lot of those.
Why aging?
Because, you know, those are the North Shore. You know, they're coming down. They're going,
the family dog.
Let's take Winthorpe out for the, you know, for his last Cubs game.
One more run.
Yeah.
Aw. Such a nice idea. Enjoy the ballpark and bring your dog.
It is kind of a good thing.
I like it.
Yeah. I do. I like the idea of that. Maybe we should do that tomorrow night and watch the
and we can all bring our dogs.
Yeah.
You can bring your grand doggy. I'll bring my dog.
My grand dog is on vacation. For the next two nights. So he's away. I would otherwise bring him for a drag out there.
He doesn't like to walk too much.
Like to walk.
He has a short little legs.
Yes, his English bulldog. And he goes, who's now like, I don't know. I picked him up today, and I swear to God, I was like, oh my God. He was a puppy like an hour ago. And now he's like, you know,
they grow up so fast.
I know. He's like a refrigerator with fur is what he looks like. He's like a mini fridge.
So would he make it from the parking lot to the stadium? That would be hard.
That's a long walk. I'd have to put him in a baby carriage.
Yes!
And that would be...
Then you'd get mocked.
I saw a man walking a dog on Upper Wacker today along the river with a dog in a stroller.
Yeah.
Was it a little tiny dog?
Not really.
Was it an English bulldog? Because I will fully understand it if it were.
If it were what?
An English bulldog.
No, it was an English bulldog. I don't know what it was. But I was like, are you seriously doing that? People do that?
Well, I'm going to tell you something. There's no way to get... I can just tell you right now...
He needs some fresh air,
with
but
Ernie,
he doesn't like walking.
Well,
so
maybe he has arthritis or something.
That's true.
Poor little dog.
Yeah, right. He can have arthritis. Yeah, stop making fun of him, Kev. I can tell you right now, Ernie the Bulldog is not going to be... He's not going to be self-ambulatory. Because even today, they put the collar on him to put him in the car because it's a harness for the, you know, they're taking a road trip. And
so he's kind of he's got his safety.
As soon as he got the harness on, before he got in the car, he just hit the ground, splayed out. It's like, I know this means I'm going for a walk, and I will not go. I will not go.
Aww.
And I am not going to the Sox game tomorrow night either.
He's very particular, this dog. I can tell. He's got a lot. He's kind of controlling the whole neighborhood.
Bro is his grandfather. What do you expect?
I know. Right. Well, I mean, it's the whole thing. The whole neighborhood is very familiar with him now. He's the dog that lies down literally in the intersection. He goes to the middle of the intersection and throws himself on the ground. His great-grandmother was like that, too. All right, let's start. Don't anybody move. Okay. Kim Gordon, she's got news, brought to you by Gale Street Inn. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Coming up, Bob Baer is going to join us. We're going to talk about this story out of CNN today, actually, is breaking this story about the CIA pulling a high-level spy out of Russia, someone who apparently was in the Kremlin with access to Putin because they were afraid of the potential that the spy's identity would be outed by the White House.
Hmm.
Now, it's a convoluted story. I'm going to bring A.B. Stoddard in on this, our friend from RealClearPolitics.com longtime Washington insider who has written some of the best commentary, some of the most insightful commentary of the last 2 decades. And I find this story a little bit lacking, quite honestly, AB, as much as I believe there's a lot of wackiness about what goes on in Washington. There are some people who are kind of some people at the CIA are throwing some cold water on this, saying that even sources who are acknowledging that one of our assets was extricated out of Russia, that it is not directly related to Donald Trump. What are you hearing about this?
Right. Well, I saw in the reporting that the concerns had begun in the Obama administration, and then they escalated after 2017 because of some events that were related to Trump. And so it's clear that this kind of, very tightly embedded asset that close to the Kremlin would always be vulnerable in their life, you know, would always be in danger. And those concerns have to be, you know, constantly assessed. One of the concerns was that they've been there just a really long time. And, you know, that obviously increases your chance of being revealed. So there was obviously a lot of concern before Trump was running his mouth with Ambassador Kislyak in the Oval Office, and then the NSA was so concerned they leaked that to the media, and then he met with Vladimir Putin and wouldn't let any note taker document it, etc. So I'm not sure what to believe. It was five former sources. That's not one. They don't work anymore in Congress or the CIA or the Trump administration. So they'd all left and talked about it in their capacity as former. So
these are
officials.
Five. Let me go back. Let's just go back to that for a second, because this is really important to point out. I think this is widely, widely, widely misunderstood in this era, that in order for working journalists, I'm not talking about bloggers, I'm not talking about people who do this part-time, I'm talking about people who work for accredited journalistic institutions who make a living, who make their life's living, who make their house payments on what their job is. Before you publish a story, and there are people who have made mistakes. I mean, we have one that had to get taken off the table last week, right? A thinly sourced story. But before major news organizations will publish a story, they have to have at least two independent sources, at least two. Mostly editors will ask for more than that if they can get it, depending on the heat of the story. And in this particular story, which is a pretty significant one, there are five sources in this story, according to the reporters. And then they go, well, how do you know that the reporters aren't lying? Because they have to then report, they have to tell their bosses who the sources are. Right?
Yeah, Jim Sciutto has a terrific reputation and just wrote a book on Russia and China, and it's not going to be winging it and putting his career at risk. So I, of all the reporters, you know, I would count him among the people in this town that I would trust the most to be well sourced and to really have the right, you know, the right contacts who will tell you. And when you do stories like this, you know,
there's the Russians getting to her right now. So what's going on?
We will silence her at this
all
moment.
Right, hold on 1 second. Can you pick that up, Jeff, for us and see what's going to happen? All right, hold on. But I think that's you know, this story is, so CNN's story is that, in part out of concern for the president's behavior as it pertained to Russia, the fact that he was shooting his mouth off with the Russian ambassador and some other high-ranking officials in the spring of 2017 in the White House, and which was leaked out from that meeting because there were other people in that meeting. And by his own people, by the way. This is not like, you know, there were reporters in there that were talking about this. This is his own people that were shocked by the president doing that. And by the fact, and I think to me this is the most chilling, maybe of all things, and I think we have AB back here, and you mentioned it just a second ago, the most chilling thing is when he literally took the notes away from his note taker in after his meeting with Vladimir Putin, his one-on-one meeting, so that nobody, including his most senior advisors, would know what he talked about with him. That is unprecedented. And I know we overuse that term now, but that is unprecedented just for his own safety, for his own legacy, for his own history. I mean, the people want that stuff. Past presidents want that stuff documented because they want to be, even if it's not popular in the moment, they want their legacy to be complete.
Yeah, I don't know where you guys lost me and I cut out. I don't want Jim Sciutto, who's built a great reputation, just wrote a book on Russia and China, to have, you know, made a mistake. But I don't want the president to be a security risk and to be someone that our own government has to stop. But everything you just described about what he has done in his interactions with Russia, that's one of the worst examples. Helsinki is another. The president, no matter whether Bob Mueller or the special counsel found a prosecutable crime or not, of a direct link of conspiracy, the president has always treated the Russian government like a once and future client he's doing business with. And he was trying in his campaign to do business with them, and he withheld it from the American people, and Putin knew that. And it is alarmed enough people in our own intelligence community from the time of his candidacy, from all the connections people around him had with Russians, through his transition and into his presidency. And if this story is right, it might have put someone's life in jeopardy. That was one of our most valuable assets in our intelligence community. And that's just really a frightening prospect.
Yeah. All right. Well, that happened.
I want to ask AB about this other issue with the president having a couple of challengers, but that they are not holding primaries. The GOP is saying that some states are lining up to say, we're not going to hold a primary. We don't really recognize these others. And today the president says, I'm not even going to debate anybody else. There will be no primary, basically trying to shut down the whole thing. Do you think this is the right way to go with this whole thing?
Well, I mean, it's very Trump, right? I don't think Trump, I mean, on some days I think he might, but on other days I think he's not going to show up for the general election debate. So, you know, he writes his own rules and whatever. I do think if he stopped giving Mark Sanford so much attention, Mark Sanford might not get any attention because he's running a campaign about trying to, like, save the Republican Party, which has basically gone off a cliff into the party of Trump for those Republicans who are still in it. Some voters have left, but obviously the electeds are all in. They don't protect their former principles of limited government and debt reduction and free trade or anything. So they're not interested in what Mark Sanford is talking about, which is you know, reducing the debt and former conservative principles that have been abandoned. So he has also expressed within the last few weeks, he is not sure he would vote for a Democrat and might vote for Trump again. So I think he's not going to get the attention that Bill Weld and Joe Walsh are going to get, the other two challengers. And I don't think they're going to get much attention. But I do think that they are running on the premise that the president is, you know, smashing norms of democracy and constitutional government and is unfit. And it's a conversation to remind Republicans who are wary of Trump, didn't vote for him the first time, they don't want, you know, are considering not voting him for a second time. All of this kind of buyer's remorse, I think they'll get more attention and do more harm to Trump, damage Trump in a way that Mark Sanford is not going to. As for Nevada and Kansas and South Carolina and Arizona canceling their primaries, you know, these are not serious challenges that are really going to get off the ground anyway. They'll have traction in places like New Hampshire and other places, but obviously the RNC made it clear a long time ago, the Republican National Committee, that they're, you know, all in for the president, that they're going to hold events at his properties, and, you know, they've been making moves for a while now to shut down any competition before these formal announcements were made. So, you know, I think that people who run against Trump and can get a lot of TV attention and a lot of, I don't know, town halls in places like New Hampshire could damage him, but I don't think Mark Sanford is going to be someone who can.
I do love the fact that the president today took a shot at Mark Sanford for being on the Appalachian Trail, not being, because he was cheating on his wife.
Right. Because back then that was a scandal.
Right. Cheating on your wife was a problem back then. Now assault isn't even a problem. It's just, you know, whatever it is. I mean, we really have grown up now. This ain't Kansas anymore. Hey, a couple things before we let you go. The, we're going to have Bob Baer on, formerly the CIA, a little bit later on, 5:40 today, to talk about this. But the potential meeting, the now aborted meeting at Camp David with the Taliban the week of September 11th, would it have been more appropriate to do it at Doral? I mean, I think that's really the question.
Always.
Yeah.
Or Turnberry.
Right.
Or Turnberry.
Yeah, you could have done it at Turnberry in Ireland, and it would have worked out. Or Scotland, or wherever the hell it is.
It's really incredible to try to watch Republicans contort themselves into pretzels saying, this is so great that the president canceled this. Obviously, you know, once you get past the rank hypocrisy of how much they accuse President Obama of telegraphing departure dates to the enemy, and you get into the, you know, the whole progression of this with Trump, he not only did that, then he should have never invited them to Camp David, and then he never had to tell us it was canceled. But his insatiable need for attention and drama made this whole thing blow up. No one was expecting him to announce it on Twitter and reveal it. Many people, including the vice president, made it clear they were opposed to it. And it's just another example of how reckless it is to just have such contempt for process and protocol and any kind of a measured, thought out, deliberate way of doing this very important, you know, most utterly important work. And it's really, on its best days, it's just unserious and it's dysfunctional, but it's really, really dangerous. And I just can't imagine internally what these conversations are like, so about what he'll do next.
You landed on something there. It's interesting because the vice president's office made it clear, wanted us, the American public, to know that they opposed this idea from the beginning.
Right. And then he put out his crazy tweet that literally sounds like it's like a SNL tweet of Vice President Pence trying to suck up to the president about the fake news, saying, of course I supported your decision. It's just so next level strange. I did notice that this morning too, that Pence, there's never a Pence leak, and it was just so intentional. and I just I also can only imagine what Mike Pompeo was feeling as he was trying to quash what was for once the better judgment of John Bolton and go against Mike Pence to appease the president. And the whole thing is just
a mess.
It's so illustrative of what a mess it is.
Yeah, it's a mess. All right, AB, thank you very much. Appreciate
your
time.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right, there she goes. Let's check in now with Kim. What's coming up in the news at the top of the hour from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom?
The push is on for expanded background checks. We'll tell you who's speaking out coming up.
And traffic being brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation. Lauren Lapka. Bro Con Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Top 5-5, you won't believe, coming up. And then Bob Baer, formerly the CIA, will join us. CIA. I said CAA, that's an agency.
Mm-hmm.
CIA, also an agency, who one of the most decorated CIA agents of all times.
Right.
I mean, a guy that, you know, in the clandestine operation section of the CIA and has seen and done a lot. And his thoughts on, especially in the Middle East, and his thoughts mm-hmm. on, and, you know, should we be getting out of Afghanistan, all the rest of that stuff, he will be discussing that with us. And Adam Hoge in the 6 o'clock hour, something even perhaps more important than that. Oh my God,
something
what
scarier.
About the Bears? Because as I watched the NFL games yesterday,
right,
that I was able to see, I got to see the last night a little bit.
Did
I got
you
to
see the a little bit of, NBC analysts all picked the Steelers, every single one of them, and they were smushed by Tom Brady.
Yeah,
33-3.
Yeah, yeah.
They got a beating, even without Antonio Brown.
Yeah. Yeah. There are a lot of teams who are expected to be something that are not.
Right. It's true.
Are not.
It's sort of a theme.
Yes. So that's all coming your way. So don't anybody move. We'll be right back with your top 5-5. And, of course, news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom with Kim Gordon in 2 minutes. Bro Con Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Yes.
All right. It is time for the most important thing of the day, which is the top five. And then on the other side, mm-hmm. Bob Baer is going to join us, formerly of the CIA, to explain exactly what the hell just went wrong. But after that, a great story it's a viral video of a Mile High Club incident.
Oh.
Yep.
It's on video.
Well, yeah, kind of. And the reaction on the Twitter machine is really something. So we will discuss. I quite honestly, I don't think it's possible.
Not a lot of room.
In the bathroom?
No. I mean, you
got to get creative.
You basically have to be that that Asian contortionist from the
Ocean's 11
from
movies.
The Ocean's 11 movies, along with that woman who's the Asian contortionist who eats an apple with her foot while she's standing on one hand.
Uh-huh.
You have to be able to pull that off.
Eating an apple in the bathroom, gross.
Just the smell alone.
Right.
Doesn't
what?
doesn't turn you on the smell of the lav?
No, it doesn't.
Most people do what they can to get out of there as quickly as possible.
Right. Seriously,
right? Yeah. You spend as little time as possible.
I don't like how it yells at you when you leave because the flushing, it just sounds like it's screaming at you. It's like get out.
Well, there was that story that if you were sitting on the toilet and were large enough and you create your own suction plug, the flushing of that toilet, because of how it works, would actually suck your intestines out.
Ah!
There was an urban legend that surrounded that.
I remember that as a kid.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, that's... Yeah, wait, save it. Save it for when we talk about this later on in the program. Right now...
It's the top five on the Rokon Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now...
it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number five.
All right, so the president now says that the peace talks between the United States and the Taliban over the war in Afghanistan are over. He canceled a secret plan for a secret meeting at Camp David.
No longer secret.
But it was a secret till he told us about it.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have to tell us about it.
He did not.
The Taliban could have said, hey, we were going to Camp David. And the White House could have said, no, we were never going to have a Camp David. And America would have believed him. But no. He had to go out and tell us that he was going to do this in the first place. Which then begs the question, why would you do it 2 days before the September 11th anniversary?
That question has been asked by both Democrats and Republicans.
Legitimate question.
Yep.
Why would you do it at Camp David? Why would you bring the Taliban here to the United States to do that? You could meet them. You could have met them at Turnberry. It would have been better for everybody. You, them, Scotland, everybody involved. All right.
Good idea to have peace talks. Just that seemed like a...
So here is the president.
Long time.
They're dead. They're dead. As far as I'm concerned, they're dead. They thought that they had to kill people in order to put themselves in a little better negotiating position. When they did that, they killed 12 people. One happened to be a great American soldier, a wonderful young man from Puerto Rico, families from Puerto Rico. And you can't do that. You can't do that with me. So they're dead as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. Now, I know this will shock some people, but I don't disagree with the president meeting with them. I don't disagree with a negotiation with the Taliban. This is the only way we're ever going to get out of Afghanistan, and we're eventually going to have to leave. It's tens of billions of dollars a year that we spend there, and it's probably time to move on.
$1 trillion, 2,400 lives, not to mention the people who have come back critically injured.
Right. But we understand what happened there, right? We understood what was going on, where what we had to go do. The question is, were we ever going to pacify Afghanistan? And no one's been able to pacify Afghanistan. And there is really an Afghanistan as much as there is just a coalition of tribes there.
No, actually, in terms of advisors, I took my own advice. I like the idea of meeting. I've met with a lot of bad people and a lot of good people during the course of the last almost 3 years. And I think meeting is a great thing. I think that meeting with, you know, you're talking about war. There are meetings with war. Otherwise, wars would never end. You'd have them go on forever. We had a meeting scheduled. It was my idea, and it was my idea to terminate it. I didn't discuss it with anybody else.
I agree with him when he says that in order to terminate wars, you have to have meetings. That's true.
Sure.
Right. Summits. And the word summit means something. It means summit. It means it's the end. It's the final pieces. This stuff's all been negotiated. And you go and you have the summit and everybody's, you know, stands by. And there's some politics to that. And I think that's one of the things the president wanted to do. He wanted to be the guy that brought him in and said, hey, we're going to get extract a little bit more. And he wants to be the deal maker in chief and all that. I get it. Okay. He wouldn't be the first president to do that. The problem is that the groundwork had not been sufficiently laid. And obviously, the Taliban were not as in much control. The guys who were representing the Taliban in those meetings were not in as much control as they claimed to have been because there was that car bombing in the meantime. And I'm sure that at some point on the table they said, listen, all of that has to stop while we're talking, right? Cease fire while we're talking. And and it didn't. So the president was right to pull out of this deal. The only grievance I would have with this is that doing it here certainly does seem disrespectful, and it gives, and again, he likes to do this. He doesn't understand the power of the image of the presidency internationally. He understands the power of the presidency, but he doesn't understand how when bringing somebody to the United States from over there and, you know, putting them up at Camp David, what that means. And he went on to make this argument that, you know, some other bad people have been, you know, at Camp David along the way, people that you would consider to be bad. Well, Brezhnev from the former Soviet Union who was at Camp David, or if it's Anwar Sadat, Or any of the other leaders, Menachem Begin, any of the other leaders that have been there to do any kind of summit themselves, you know, or peace accords. All right, fine. I don't think any of those people really rise to the level of tribal thugs like the Taliban.
Right.
Those were all leaders of their nations. Right. Not a terrorist group. It would be like having Bin Laden come over. You know, I mean, it's the same sort of thing. And it just doesn't make sense. He can meet with them, but just not here and not on a U.S. military installation.
And not then. Then is the other issue I think people have an issue with, is that it's the week of September 11th. Yeah. And Camp David was the place where our leaders went to go decide how, post 9/11, to go after Al-Qaeda. And
even when he has bad ideas, he would criticize, if he had the exact same bad idea that anybody else had, he'd criticize whoever else, Republican, Democrat, whatever it is, for having that same bad idea. But when it's his idea, it's a good idea. I think we're all adult enough to see that. Right? You know, people have bosses like that. People have, you know, at some point in your career or your life, you've had somebody in your life that behaves like that. And you're like, oh, my God, what are they up to? And that's kind of how I feel right now. Okay.
Number four.
The Mooch took a particularly personal shot at the president during a chat with Yahoo Finance Canada, or do you say finance, at the Toronto Global Forum. Scaramucci, Anthony Scaramucci, has gone from full supporter now, of course, and cable news pundit to enemy of Trump. He compared the body types of Trump, who's now 73, with the body type of 47-year-old Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Uh-oh.
You have to understand Trump. I mean, he's intimidated by Trudeau. Okay, Trudeau is like a good-looking young guy, and the president's like a fat blob and looks disgusting. And, you know, so he's very, very intimidated by that. You know, he has the self-esteem of a pigeon. So that's why he bullies everybody. Okay, and that's why he had to dunk Trudeau after the G20. And so that's why he had to dunk him. You know, he dunks everybody. There's nobody that can escape the personal fires of self-hatred of Donald Trump.
I didn't know pigeons had such problems.
I know. I know. I thought pigeons were fairly confident. I mean, the pigeons down here are confident.
They're very confident.
They fly right up
to ones here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But apparently they're like, hey, I'll take you on, but I know I'm ugly.
This is an insult to pigeons, is really what this is. How dare you, Anthony Scaramucci? I don't know.
The man's everywhere, though. Don't you see? He's still on, he's popping up on all the shows.
And he's supposed to be here this week, too.
I don't know. Let's get producers.
I think we were talking about Scaramucci this week.
Sean Spicer is in town this week.
Oh. Finally, now that he's working for Fox, he's got suits that fit properly.
Yeah, they were a little baggy before, weren't they?
He's got it all worked out.
RBG is here right now at University of Chicago.
Hospital?
No. Don't even
say
that.
She's accepting an award.
Oh.
Yes, at the University of Chicago.
I hope that
Ruth
they
Bader.
Do the same thing that they did last week when she was accepting an award, and they hand it to her very gently and hold it with her.
Don't break her.
Don't let her fall on her foot.
Very delicate about
it. They unwrap her from plastic wrap, and they put her, you know, there, and then they put her back in the bubble wrap, and they put her back in the airplane.
We gave you this 10-pound dumbbell as an award.
No.
Nothing sharp either. They don't like, you know, that, like, not like a scabbard or something.
The cutlery
like,
set.
You know, right. Nothing, right, exactly. And everybody gets the cutlery set along with this. I'm a bleeder.
Oh. She's
all right.
Recovering nicely from her cancer.
Kim Gordon has got the WGN News at the bottom of the hour. What's coming up?
Mayor Lightfoot says overtime in the Chicago Police Department has to be cut. We'll have the latest coming up.
Celebrate 25 years of Chicago Television's number one morning show. Watch a live two-hour special full of memorable moments on the WGN TV Morning News 25th Anniversary Special. It's next Tuesday night, September 17th at 7 p.m.
All right, Top 5 continues.
Number three.
After engaging in a Twitter fight last week with Senator Ted Cruz, Mayor Lightfoot has invited him to come to Chicago.
Because I wanted an opportunity to actually have a more fulsome conversation, which you're constrained
with the characters that you can do in Twitter. And fundamentally, I don't think Twitter is the appropriate place to have a substantive policy discussion. I'm sure the next question is, have I heard yet from Senator Cruz? I have not. But I've invited him to come to Chicago. I'd love for him to walk the streets in the West Side and the South Side with me if he really wants to do something to be helpful.
That sounds kind of scary, though, doesn't it?
I don't think he's accepting that.
I don't know. It seems like there might be shootings and stuff if people have illegal guns.
Right, like the ones that she's talking about that come mm-hmm. across the border from Indiana and other places. He's got to prepare for his Alyssa Milano face-off. I guess it's next Tuesday, the whole gun control debate he's going to have with Alyssa Milano. So he's going to be busy prepping.
I loved you and Who's the Boss? I'd like to be your boss, if you know what I mean. Is that wrong to say?
Yeah, it is.
That's the wrong
Super
thing
awkward.
To say, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I say things that are just awkward.
Like all the time.
Yes. But I can't help it. I do it because my heart tells me to.
That's not your heart, by the way. Just please don't ever tell us about your queso, love, because that... That's just something no one can handle anymore. And he officially ruined queso for all of America when he did that.
And this is all making me sad. Kevin, I got to go watch another movie.
I'll join you. I'll get the queso.
I'm going to Prom Hub to watch movies. That's what my staff told me. It's pronounced Prom Hub. And my favorite actress is Busty Milf.
All right.
Here
we go.
That's a category, not a person.
Oh. All right. Let us now
move on. Number two.
Does he walk with me?
To the hustlers, killers, murderers, drug dealers, even the strippers.
He just walks with them.
To the victims of welfare, for we living in hell here. Hell yeah.
He just walks with them.
Kanye West was doing his Sunday service, taking people to church.
Back home in Chicago.
At Northerly Island yesterday. It's a pretty amazing thing that he
really
did, though, because on Saturday morning he announced that the tickets were available on the interwebs, and 9,000 of them went immediately. And then there was an aftermarket as much as $200 for them, even though they were free on the internet.
Yeah, I saw 300, but yes, people took the free tickets, and they suddenly became for sale.
Yep. I mean, this is a way to promote his new album. He's kind of making this turn toward a Sunday
service. He did it at Coachella, and he's been doing it in other cities. This is his first trip back home.
Yeah, so he's going to do this around the country is the idea. But was it more than Coachella, or is it just Coachella?
I thought he'd been in other places, done one of these Sunday services, like at least another one.
Vegas.
Thank God to Vegas.
You haven't gone to bed yet, and you're in Vegas at a Sunday service with Kanye.
And Chance the Rapper was there, too. So
yeah.
Major star power.
Mm-hmm. Here's Chance making an appearance. Service included a choir and messages of positivity.
When they come for you, I will shield your name. I will field their questions. I will feel your pain. No one can judge. Yeah.
What?
They don't know. They don't.
Devil's neck till it drifted Pangea. I'm moving all my family from Chatham to Zambia. Treat the demon just like
all right.
That rhymes.
Hey Kim, what rhymes with Pangea? Zambia? All right, I got it.
Uh-huh. At one point he like parted the seas of the audience and he walked through.
Kanye did. He like shushed away the bodyguard. Right? He's like, "This is my city.
I don't need you. I'm gonna go right through."
And he did though. He walked through a huge
parted
crowd.
Parted the seas of the people. It's very biblical.
Yeah,
classic Kanye.
He is something.
I love Kanye.
He's a performance artist of massive proportion. He is. I think to the hip hop world, what David Bowie was to the rock and roll world in a lot of ways.
It's saying something.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's in his heart. He's a religious person. He sings about God. It just feels like it's a genius marketing strategy to do these Sunday services. People, look how they're grabbing these tickets.
Yeah. And I mean, his music is great too. I mean, he's very good at waiting. And then the staging and theatrics and all that. I mean, but he is nuts. But all the, you know, a lot of great artists were nuts. Van Gogh cut his ear off, right? He just put on a MAGA hat. I mean, I don't know what else to do.
Well,
he just did what he did.
He went after the Taylor Swift. He just done a couple things.
That wasn't the best, but it worked out. Right? Didn't hurt her. Put it that way.
Number one.
Celebrities gathered at a theater in Los Angeles last night to tease Alec Baldwin at his Comedy Central roast, but he wasn't the only one to become the butt of harsh jokes. Caitlyn Jenner, who showed up to help throw jabs at the night's honoree, was also roasted, most notably by former Olympian and from her daughter's daughter Kendall's ex-boyfriend, Blake Griffin.
Look, for real, I know we're all here making fun of Caitlyn, but honestly, I want to take this moment to publicly thank you. As an athlete, I want to thank you for your bravery. And as a human, I want to thank you for the doors you've opened. And on behalf of the entire NBA and half of the rappers on the Billboard charts, I want to thank you for giving your daughters their daddy issues.
Oh, no, he didn't say that. Ouch.
Ow.
Ouch!
That's hilarious.
Now I have a question. Is Caitlyn Jenner a stepmom or stepdad?
All right, close this thing up.
The top five at five.
Brocon Show with Anna DeVlantis on 720 WGN. Bob Baer is joining us, one of the most decorated clandestine agents of the CIA in that esteemed agency's history. And Bob, a couple different things that have popped up here that sort of elude me here. First of all, I obviously spent a lot of time in the Middle East in your service to this country. Do you think that, your thoughts on the Taliban coming to Camp David potentially to sign a peace agreement?
Politically, it's utterly stupid. I mean, you know, these people did host Al-Qaeda when they hit the World Trade Center. And there's a lot of raw memories. Also, you know, who are we really dealing with? What are their goals? The possibility of their setting up president was very high. I mean, this is not like dealing with the German government or something. So, I mean, it was just crazy. And he apparently did this with shooting from the hip.
So
it's just nuts. It's nuts. It's never happened before.
When you say setting up the president, are you talking about for potential assassination or politically setting him up? What do you mean?
Well, setting him up, that attack that killed an American. They have no intention of instituting a ceasefire in the middle of these conversations. Which is just crazy. I mean, before you go into it, you have at least on a secret level a ceasefire, saying, we're just going to hold hostilities until we get through this. They didn't even do that, the Taliban. So, I mean, this had no chance of going anywhere. And I don't think the Taliban is a unified command, so they don't have complete control of the. Right.
That's the other question. So, what does a peace agreement look like in an ideal world? Putting the Taliban in partial control of Afghanistan again, asking them in exchange for withdrawal, we won't allow you to harbor terrorism anymore, and believe that they'll do that.
Yeah, I mean, that's what precisely you want. Is you want to leave and get them and say, listen, no more hosting the Islamic State, Al-Qaeda, anything. Do what you want in your own country. We're not going to nation build. We tried. We failed. But if you use Afghanistan as a launching pad for terrorism, we're going to come back and get you. And it's that simple. So what we do, I mean, look, the president's right. We got to get out there. It's unwinnable.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to stay there for 50 years?
Right.
It's been 18.
Well, right. And, I mean, you look at... ours is the most recent chapter in empires trying to pacify or trying to control the playing board in that part of the world. And Afghanistan is a made-up concept, too, right? I mean, the concept of Afghanistan, the old Hindu Kush, which, you know, you can go back 150 years and you can see the failure of the British trying to figure out what the hell to do there when they were when they basically owned all of South Asia. They couldn't.
They retreated in 1842, wasn't it? They just got up and left, and they lost 15,000 people in the retreat. I mean, it's not a place you want to go in and try to reason with these people. The Taliban are mostly Pashtuns. I mean, I happen to like the Pashtuns on a personal level, but they're the last people in the world you want to go to war with.
Right.
I think we've talked about this. Last people to defeat them were the Mongols, and it was genocide. So, I mean, obviously we're not going to do that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Although that did come up at least one time in the last month from the president in terms of, well, you know, I could just drop a bomb there and you know, solve the whole problem, which is not obviously he can't. Right. I mean, he knew what he was saying when he was saying there's like, you know, people that you think want me to do that, which is no, we don't. No, we're good. But I think you're right. I mean, he's right to want to get out. I agree with that.
Absolutely.
I agree with the sentiment that our job is about as done as it can be there, because all we're doing there is just being a traffic cop between the Afghani government, which is, you know, very Pakistani dominated, right? And then the Pashtun, and it's just it's a tribal mess. It has always been a tribal mess. And Pakistan,
the whole place is a mess. Let's not forget that Osama bin Laden was taking refuge in a Pakistani military garrison.
Right.
That tells you the whole story.
Right.
We don't even know what the game is.
Yes, exactly. All right. So let's move from that to now this story. Love to get your thoughts on this. There was an extrication of a CIA asset out of the Russian government, a highly placed CIA asset. There apparently was some concern about this asset's safety from the Obama administration. But then, now, according to Jim Sciutto at CNN, he is reporting that there was increased concern after the president had been very open in his discussions with Sergei Kislyak and other Russian officials in the White House and the Oval Office about the FBI and about James Comey.
He violated, you know, this was special access program stuff. It's as secret as you get. And he just spilled the beans in the Oval Office with the foreign minister and the Russian ambassador. So, you know, as soon as that occurred, the CIA said, well, you know, legally he can declassify anything he wants. So why couldn't he declassify the identity of a CIA agent? That's an asset inside the Kremlin. And that's exactly what their calculations were. Well, we can't. We can't protect this guy with this president. Let's get the guy out.
So let me, in the aftermath of that, and then the other piece, too, that they were concerned about was when he met with Putin privately and then took the notes with himself. You know, he wouldn't let the note taker keep the notes, which, you know, is that to me is probably the most chilling thing he's done as president of the United States for me. And I'm
Go ahead. He trusts Putin more than he does his own government.
Right.
I mean, how that came to pass is another story, but that's just a fact. If he's going to take the notes.
Yeah.
And then go after the FBI in particular as the deep state, or the CIA as the deep state. I mean, he's basically framed the CIA and the FBI as the enemy of the American people.
What happens in a situation like that when you extricate somebody? Obviously, once they've been extricated, it's obvious to the Russians who that person was, who was the asset.
Is it, or is there a way of doing that?
Well, we don't know. I mean, look, the asset's name was thrown around in 2016 running up to the election. And in fact, a couple of newspapers were aware of a source that was reporting on the Kremlin. At that point, the Obama administration, the CIA, decided to leave him in place because nobody had the name or the identity. But that, of course, changed with Trump and his relationship with Russia, which was still very confusing for everybody.
Well, I just want to understand that. The name was in the press in 2016?
No, it was never in the press.
Oh, but there was a highly placed
description.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, there's a highly placed. And the New York Times was going to run the story, and then they were talked out of it.
Hmm.
So what we're essentially saying is the CIA trusts the New York Times more than it does the president.
Wow. So they talked him out of it, and they held that person, they held that asset in place after they knew that the CIA.
They kept him in place. Yeah,
the New York Times knew who it was. That's that. All right. So now, when that person, in general terms. It's, you know, you got to think for that person, wherever they are now, they must think that Putin's going to come after them, right?
Yeah, well, he's given a new identity. He's resettled in the United States under a law called PL-110, given credit cards, given money to resettle and everything else. Yeah. I mean, Putin last month killed a dissident in Berlin. They just out now. Cold-bloodedly assassinated him. The FSB did. That's the new KGB. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, absolutely it'd come after him. I mean, a couple months ago, they started moving defectors around the United States, figuring that Putin would put assassins in the country and start killing them.
When sources like that go dark, and I imagine there may be others as well, given the situation, how does that impact our ability? I mean, the whole reason they're there is to help us understand what Putin's up to, right? And in this age when we're worried.
There's no way to get this on the internet. You need a source inside the Kremlin. That's the whole point of the CIA. The CIA can't do that anymore. You might as well stop funding it.
Yeah. And then you wonder, I mean, obviously, if we're doing it, they're doing it. And then you wonder what's going on
here. Yeah, they've got sources all over Washington. Yes. Yeah, they do. I mean, it's just a given.
They may have a very useful source at the very top before it's all said and done.
Yeah, well, you got to wonder. Remember, Mueller didn't get into counterintelligence questions. There's one thing, not being able to prove conspiracy in hacking the elections. That's one thing. But counterintelligence suspicions are something entirely different. That's not a legal class.
Yeah. All right. Before I let you go, I'm going to take you somewhere else around the world here. I'm watching this with the sense that it's going to become a very, very large story over the next 6 months. What's going on in Hong Kong? There are clearly anti-Chinese government protests in Hong Kong, right? That's what's going on there. Hong Kong wants to remain in the sort of the cultural form it was when it was a British protectorate, and there was a sort of a sense of democracy and free trade and openness and, you know, freedom of border and all that. China took it over in 1999. They want to continue to make it more like mainland China than Hong Kong, like a free enterprise zone that it was intended to be. There are protests. What is your sense, Bob Baer, former CIA agent, what is your sense of who is helping those dissidents? What foreign actors?
No one is. This is just organic. Hong Kong, they've had a certain amount of liberty. They don't want to give it up. And now the question is it infecting the rest of China? And that, I don't know the answer to that, but Xi has got to be worried about that. And if one day, one night, he drives the tanks into Hong Kong, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. Because you do wonder, I mean, who benefits from it? I always look at these things as, you know, at least if a foreign government didn't start it, they're interested in it. I'm just wondering who would get the, whose advantage is it to have that trouble? I mean, is it Russia's? Is it to Russia's advantage? Is
no,
it to our advantage?
Russians wouldn't touch it. It would be to our advantage to undermine Beijing, whether it's the trade wars or whatever. But I just, if there were a finding against the Chinese, it would leak, trust me. Yeah. And it hasn't leaked, so I don't think there is one.
All right. All right, Bob. Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate
it. Thank you, Bob.
May we live in interesting times.
Thanks, bye.
Seriously.
Bye. Kim Gordon has an interesting Northwestern Medicine newsroom, and she is working in it right now. It's coming up at the top of the hour.
Well, did you know there's an Illinois law that says parents can take time off for their kids' school conference? We'll tell you about it coming up.
Kim Gordon stands by in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Talk to her in a few minutes. And then coming up, Mile High Club. Here's a video on board an aircraft.
Uh-oh.
Fox News is pushing it.
Did the participants released the video accidentally, or do we know how this came about?
No, it's people videoing a door that was closed for a really long time, and some things were happening, and a deal. And there's a couple different angles of the video in the door, and the best part is when the people walk out. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll tell you all that. It's a moment. It's a moment that really, you know, shouldn't really, it should never happen.
Here's...
The Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis on 720 WGN. So I've been mentioning this for the last hour. Fox News pushed a story today out on the, you know, out on your phones to tell us about a mile high situation that occurred.
And there's some video, you said.
Yes. And the video does not show the Mile High participants and Mile High activity.
Right.
What it shows is a bunch of people waiting to get into the bathroom on a plane.
And it's taken the occupants a little while.
Yes, which it appears to be a wide-body aircraft.
Is anyone a member of the club?
Even if they were, you think they'd tell you on air, Kevin?
Why not? It's radio.
My goodness.
That is everybody shut up.
Yeah,
that
sorry.
Was the most amazing thing I've ever
heard. There you go, Ro. You ever want to get us all to shut up? Ask us very...
That was amazing. How now, you know how... Kevin, let me just say, have you noticed how the ladies on the show tend to like go, oh, guys,
right.
You know, whenever
get
we...
Get annoyed with us.
Yeah, they get annoyed.
When you talk about porn, yeah. Yeah, yeah, it happens a lot.
Senator right, Cruz talks about the porn.
Yeah, right. That's Senator Cruz. That is, we would not be, ever be discussing
right.
porn.
Right.
But the... That, you know, when we talk about things and they go, oh no, and did you notice that not a single one went, oh no, Kevin, why would you ask that?
So that leads us to believe.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
It would incriminate us either way.
Exactly.
I see.
Anyway, I find bathrooms on airplanes terribly gross. I can barely turn around in them myself. I don't understand two people and the appeal of this whole thing.
Yeah, you're not going to get away with it. Like, I don't know anyone that would be able to. There's always a line for the bathroom. Always.
Sometimes if it's like a late flight, everybody's kind of sleeping.
That's a big thing.
Then you wake people up. I don't know. It's risky. You need to be flexible. You need to be creative.
The videos that you see now are people trying to mile high in the seats.
Ew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have seen a little of that going on,
yeah.
I have to say.
Yeah.
You've seen it on an
really?
Airplane?
Mm-hmm.
You've seen
some heavy,
people...
some serious heavy petting, yes, mm-hmm. on a flight
yeah.
to Europe once.
Heavy petting.
Yeah. Right. Let me just put it this way. Do not, people. This is an official warning. An official warning. Do not use the blanket provided by the airline.
Why
even
not?
If it's wrapped in plastic?
It's in a little plastic bag. It's already sanitized.
Right.
Yeah.
It's. You mean it's been put back in a plastic bag is what you mean. Folded and placed back in a plastic bag.
They don't wash those?
I wouldn't.
If I had to guess, I would say no.
Yeah.
But that's just a guess.
I also, in case the oxygen mask comes down, be sure you actually have to put it on, because I don't know where that's been either.
Get your spray out, your little, like, that you carry with you everywhere.
I'm actually wiping it down first. I've got a whole thing. I can't really breathe, but hold on one second. I got it.
Honestly, I've sat next to the hygiene freaks who have that little routine where they look like professional travelers, and they sit, and they immediately take the tray table out, and they wipe it down on both sides, and they go to all the little places that they're going to touch, and they do the wipes and the whole thing, and they get themselves situated.
Were you sitting next to my mom? Because she does that.
A row?
I
see that a lot.
I don't know why I just... Okay, let's get back to the
okay.
mile high
all right,
thing.
Back to business.
Okay. So this viral video appears to show a couple exit... It doesn't appear to show. It shows a couple exiting an airplane bathroom.
And both of them were in the bathroom.
Yeah, well,
one comes out first.
Yeah, and then the door... but the door remains open. You know how the door just sort of closes automatically?
Yeah.
The door remains open. He's holding it open. And then he keeps walking, and he's trying to walk. He's trying to act natural, you know, as he is walking
like,
away
no big
from the
deal.
Bathroom. Like, and then she comes out like maybe 3 seconds later. Like that is like, oh, I get it. Oh no, that's two different. That those two could have been together. There's 3 seconds separating him walking out from her.
And then there's a bunch of mom-looking types outside, kind of tapping their foot. Like, could you believe this, Karen?
Right.
Do you
well,
believe
they
this?
Wait 10 minutes for the bathroom.
Yeah.
That would be rough, I think.
And that seems like an awful
rough
long time.
Well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, first of all, I got to figure out how. I mean, I don't know what they're planning on doing in there. I mean, there's, you know, I suppose that you know, there's a menu of things one could be doing in there, but there's not the many things that one could do where you both, I mean, these are fully, these are
they're
two
not small,
adults.
Petite people.
No, either. These they're are just, two adults. These are not, right. They're not gymnasts, as I pointed out, or contortionists.
Nope. Doesn't appear that way.
You never know, though.
Well.
No, I know.
Maybe they do yoga.
I mean, that'd be some yoga right there, my friend. Oh, they were wearing soft clothes. Though.
Matching sweatshirts, if you notice.
And sweatpants.
Yeah, that's even worse. That's more disgusting than the whole process.
But you see, the sweatpants, you got to kind of get, I don't know what you do about the sweatpants. You know, like, where are the sweatpants going? I just think the whole thing is beyond, I mean, I thought they intentionally started to make the bathroom smaller to keep people from doing
is that what they did? Maybe.
It just doesn't make any sense. The biggest bathroom on an airplane I have been in. I will admit to having had this thought.
Okay.
That I was on a regional jet a couple of years ago, and the I think it's the Embraer 150, if I'm not mistaken. And I was, and it's got one bathroom in the back. And so I went back there, and I got, and I was like, "Wow, this is like a double wide bathroom." It was like it's like the entire width of the fuselage. You go in and you close the door, and it's like kind of wide, and there's enough room for two people to be in there. And I did have the thought. I thought, "Wow, I got to remember this the next time I'm on the Embraer."
What is it? The Embraer 150?
Embraer, Embraer 150. Okay. Yeah.
But again, you said it's the only bathroom.
That's the only bathroom.
Yeah, so then everyone's going to take along. Yeah,
that might be a problem. Yes, I think that is true.
Isn't there some embarrassment when people come out of?
Yeah, how do you have no shame?
Well, they did. Well, they were walking away. See, now I will say this: the one thing about this viral video that Fox has is that they're not the people are lined up behind them, so all they got to do is just keep walking.
Maybe they liked the rush of it, you know. People
I'm
are
sure
into stuff
they
like that.
Do, but they should also. I would totally love to just embarrass anybody I caught doing that because I'd be like, "Thank you for waiting us, mate. Wait for the bathroom because you're doing it in a closet.
You're totally doing it. You two are totally.
You're not fooling
doing
anybody.
I think I'd applaud them.
A germ-infested closet.
That was impressive. In what?
A germ-infested
right.
closet.
Right. I mean, there are lots of places you don't want to touch.
Oh, God. Don't even start with that. All right. Now, the footage here was filmed by U.S. Olympic beach volleyball player Stafford Slick.
Isn't that weird? What? This, like, 6'8" guy is sitting there filming the whole thing. He's, like,
standing there. He was standing in the...
He was in line?
He was in line,
I thought
yeah.
he was sitting in his...
No. He was Stafford Slick.
Isn't that a great name?
Yeah.
He's, like, a Manhattan Beach volleyball player.
I think he's really good in that Busty MILF film.
All right,
Ted Cruz has still not accepted Lori Lightfoot's...
He used a hashtag when he put it out, Stafford Slick did, that implied the couple had joined the infamous Mile High Club, a term for people who claim to have had nuptials on an airplane. The footage eventually made its way to the Instagram page, Passenger Shaming. Who knew there was an Instagram page for
oh,
that?
Oh, that's awesome.
People who take off their shoes.
Ugh, so gross.
Oh, my God. That should be illegal.
Oh, it should.
So what's worse? Mile High or taking your shoes off?
Okay, you go barefoot on a plane, that is one. It's disturbing. So that's way worse than Mile High Club. I applaud the Mile High Club. That's difficult to do.
It's a badge of honor, isn't it?
It's a badge of honor.
Yeah, but the Mile High
I would
Club,
say
yeah.
that is worse if I'm someone waiting in line for the bathroom or have to use the bathroom after. Otherwise, feet are worse.
Well, there was that video that's 2 weeks ago of the guy using his touchscreen.
Yes, with his foot.
Ew, yeah. God.
I mean, that's just disturbing.
Yeah. Wasn't it like Andy Dick or somebody who went after him? Or some actor of that?
I don't know.
You know, someone that like
somebody at that level of celebrity that went after him? Or what's the not Andy Dick, but I'm playing $10,000 pyramid here.
Tom Green?
No, oh, that's not a good guess. Green, that's a great guess.
Not Tom Green, but
same profile.
What did he called out somebody for doing it?
Yeah, David Spade.
Oh,
yeah.
That's there's also somebody using their bare foot to change the air, like twisted open.
Listen, if you don't have arms, that is your only excuse for doing
right.
that.
The only person right. allowed to do that.
Exactly.
That's someone flexible enough to join the Mile High Club, though.
That's true. That's a good point.
Excellent point. And let me just ask you a question here.
Mm-hmm.
Where? What? How? There's no room. To do anything in there.
You could do it if you get creative.
No, you could.
You wouldn't enjoy it. Let's put it that way.
No, it'd be like, but then it's cool. You could say you did.
That's the dumbest reason to do it.
Dude, you're not going to believe what I just did.
Well, right. Well, the guy will.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's put it that way. The guy will. Right. The guy. And any guy who is suggesting that, who doesn't have a private plane, just wants to tell his buddies that he did it. And actually, the guy with the private plane already told his buddies he did it even before he bought the private plane. So it doesn't matter.
I'm sure it's not just bros.
Oh, that's a bro thing, though.
It is a bro thing. But come on. People like to do stuff, man.
Yeah, I know, but on an airplane. But again, so I go back to this flight attendants will tell you that what they are encountering now more than anything else is the people in the seats,
right,
doing stuff.
That's bad.
That they you know, on like late night flights and stuff like that, they get the blanket out. They're just, you know, God knows what they're doing.
I mean, at least, you know, these two felt the urge and felt the love and the passion, and instead of doing
to go to bed, why don't you just get a blanket?
No, that's worse.
That's the blankets.
It's worse
again.
In the seats.
Well, I bet it is easier though on some of those European flights where they have the little individual pods.
Put the little
window up.
I'm telling
nobody
you, right?
Could see.
Well, those pods. You know, that's all that's going on in the pods.
that's all that's going on.
All right. So I have a friend who was on one of those flights to Asia.
Your friend was on the flight.
Yeah, my friend was on the flight in a pod.
Okay.
And with his wife. It's a totally legitimate story.
Okay.
Totally.
And
feels like it's being cleaned up a little.
Yeah. They potted each other.
Ew.
Yeah.
Really?
Been in those.
Yeah, well, that happens.
That upsets me.
Yeah, that's that.
Your disinfect.
Yeah.
Wipes.
Yeah. So, I think they just thought to themselves, luckily they didn't get caned when they landed in Singapore for that, because I think that's, can't chew gum in Singapore. Can you do that in one of their pods?
I don't think so.
But it's, you know.
What if you get caught on a plane doing it?
Yeah, I wonder if there's sort of
a rule, the flight attendants sort of leave people alone.
They
can't open the door and throw you out.
Well, isn't that technically public nudity?
Right? Well, if you're in your seat, yeah. I mean, if you're
now, do they land the flight like in Omaha to arrest the people if they were turning this plane around? Yeah.
Well, in this case, they had people complaining because they were waiting to use the bathroom, and you could see at one point in the video the flight attendant goes by with the drink cart, and they're like, "You're still waiting?" Like, "Yeah, we're still waiting." I think everyone was pretty well aware at that point of what was going on.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sir Kevin Flight Deck. It appears that the passengers in 13E and F may be making love. We're going to be landing in Omaha to have them arrested by TSA, FBI, DEA, CIA, and...
the Catholic Church.
Thank you. We know you have a lot of choices when you fly. I'd like to thank you for flying with us.
Oh, gee.
I think everyone should just applaud when they come out. Wouldn't that be good?
That's what I'm saying. Right? I applaud this move.
Well, I mean, actually physically applaud.
Yeah, just give them
did you finish?
Oh, my God. How was it when the turbulence hit? Better or worse?
Oh, God.
What was the positioning?
Oh, God, shut up!
That's what everybody's thinking.
Right. Well, when you see the video of these two people, that's all you can think about. They're both wearing sweatpants, and they're not small. And it's
not small people.
And it's not possible.
So everyone's thinking, how'd you pull it off, Houdini?
Well, maybe they just like each other so much that they just both decided, hey, why don't we both go to the bathroom together? You know, there are couples that
so
do that.
So romantic.
Yeah. There are couples that, you know,
romantic.
When you've been together long enough, you just start going in front of each other.
And it takes 10 minutes?
Well, maybe he's pee shy. I don't know, whatever. I can't explain this, but I cannot also explain how, without actually breaching the fuselage or doing that thing like from Catch Me If You Can, where Leonardo DiCaprio took the toilet off and then went down into the. I mean, I don't know how you do it.
I would really hate to be the person first in line after them.
God. You're looking, you're like, all right, I'll hold it.
The one lady didn't hesitate. She walked right in.
Well, air it out for like five
more
minutes.
You gotta go.
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, talking about airing it out. Sometimes you go in there and you're like, oh my God, what the hell did you eat?
Sometimes you know what they ate because you ate it too.
Oh, God.
All right.
I'm congratulating them. I think we should applaud this. Something everybody always kind of thinks about but never does. It's bravery.
Only you, Kevin. Only you.
Everything we've just been hashing.
I totally agree.
We've been hashing out. How are you going to do it? Are you going to be ashamed? You got to face the music when you get out? They stood up to all these tests and they did it.
Yeah, isn't that that's amazing bravery.
That's
these
amazing
are two
bravery.
Great Americans.
That's what I'm saying.
There you go. All right, coming up, we're going to find out if the Chicago Bears are toast. We're going to find that out from
had one game.
It wasn't a good one.
No, was not. It was a disaster.
All right, we'll find out about that coming up with our own Bears insider, Adam Hogue, joining us after the news at the bottom of the hour. But first, let's check in with Kim. What's coming up in that news?
Two of the best universities in the country are right in our own backyard. We'll tell you who made the list coming up.
Rokan Show with Anna DeWantis. Right here, 720 WGN.
You can't be Googling airplane blankets. Do they really wash them? Because I'm worried about this now. Apparently the ones in the plastic, it appears those are washed. The ones that are just sort of loose, only washed at the home base. So when you get into one of your hubs. Otherwise they're just sort of folded up and put back.
I'm avoiding those at all
what
costs.
Did they spill on this
thing? Oh, God.
All right.
Let's not talk about that.
Spilling, Adam Hogue is joining us. He's also going to be with Justin Kaufman tonight from 8 to 9 talking Bears.
Oh, good.
So congratulations on that. More work from your basement. Let me just ask you this. After what we saw on Thursday night, the only thing that made me feel better was seeing what happened to Cleveland yesterday. Because Cleveland was the team in the AFC that everybody's been talking about. Is a look out for them. They're going to be something. Look out. Right? The AFC North. That's good. Forget about it. Hey, take a look at these guys. The way that we've been thinking about the Bears. And Baker Mayfield, he had not a particularly great day. And I just kind of feel like, you know, maybe there's a little bit more of a chance of success here, maybe next week. Adam, what do you think?
Well, it sounds kind of desperate, Ro, to be using the Browns to feel good about your NFL team.
Yes.
But I see where you're going with that. Yeah. Look, week one can be weird. It can be. The Saints lost to the Bucs last year at home in the Superdome in week one. And then I think they won 9 or 10 straight games after that. And they should have been in the Super Bowl. So, now, their offense didn't look as anemic in that game, and I will admit that it's pretty concerning what we saw on Thursday night. I don't know if this makes you feel better, but I think it is the best silver lining I can look at, though,
yeah,
offensively.
What?
Mm-hmm.
As I thought this live, I thought it when I went back and watched the game on Friday, and again today when I went through the actual coach's film, I think the Bears' biggest problem offensively was Matt Nagy had a bad night. Matt Nagy has not had a lot of bad nights. You know, I think his first half against the Eagles wasn't great. And so that is back-to-back games. But we saw a pretty good coach last year and a pretty good offensive mind. So if it is just a matter of Mike Pettine, the Packers defensive coordinator, out-schemed and out-coached him for one game, the Bears could be okay. Because I just cannot fathom that being a problem all year long.
Well, that's been my silver lining, Adam. At least what I've been trying to tell everybody here on the show.
Yeah, everybody's trying to wrap themselves in a silver lining like an airline blanket. I'm telling you, not a good idea.
Well, I mean, think about how bad the offense was. Matt Nagy's worst night as a coach with the Bears. Mitch Trubisky, probably his worst game as a quarterback in the NFL. And they still had a shot to beat the Packers. I mean, they were right there till the end. That tells you how good the defense is. They limited Aaron Rodgers to 10 points. So that's what I'm going with, but I don't. After that game, Adam, you and I, we were all just scratching our heads, like, what did we just see? That was awful.
Well, and there are things, you know, that I do worry about, kind of as a more consistent problem. I mean, one is the quarterback. He really needs to take a step forward here in year three, and that wasn't a great debut for him. I don't think it's time they panic and give up on Mitch Trubisky yet, but there are some concerns.
Oh, my
there.
God. Oh
did
my
he just
God.
Say that?
What did he just say? We don't have the luxury of doing that. It's not like Chase Daniel is going to take us to the Super Bowl. He's not exactly, you know, what's his face from Philadelphia.
Well, what I was getting is we've seen him have bad games before, and the Bears still win. Okay, and the Rams game comes to mind last year. He had a terrible game last year in that game, and the Bears still won. They were still able to score enough to win, in part because I think the scheme and the players around him. Now, that was also a problem on Thursday night. The offensive line was terrible.
Horrible. Yes.
Well, All right. Silver linings playbook. Let me just tell you something here.
You got another one?
No. That's what I'm calling these two.
These two guys out.
These guys. The fact is, this it really wasn't so much that was he outcalled or outdueled? Was Nagy outcalled or outdueled by the defensive coordinator? Not as much as the offensive line was like a sieve. And I point to Kyle Long, who looks like he's Bruce Banner right before he becomes the Hulk. He's like that. He's like sort of in between the two. You know, he's like kind of fighting it. Is it going to go? And no, and then it goes. He does not seem to be, at least in that game, that one game, he did not seem to stick with his assignment.
Yeah, there was one play I watched today where he turned around and blocked Bradley Sowell, who's
his own guy.
Team.
Yeah.
Oh.
You're right, but it wasn't just him. I don't think Cody Whitehair had his best game coming right.
Bring out Cody Whitehair. Right now, OB is going to lose. The head's going to explode in his home.
Yeah,
Cody Whitehair!
I mean, I don't know how else to explain it. It was a catastrophe across the board. The offensive coaching wasn't good. The offensive line was bad. The quarterback didn't play well, and they were terrible on first down. I mean, it's impossible to win a game like that.
Okay.
Let's look ahead. Can we look ahead? Do you mind if we look ahead?
Sure.
Now they're back to did they practice today or film today? What did they do today?
They had a light practice today.
Did they do film on Friday?
Yeah, they and all weekend. I mean, but yes, they were.
They're off tomorrow. Together. Normal
they
Tuesday.
They were together
off.
Friday. They were off over the weekend, but they all had their iPads studying. They were back together today.
Sure, they did.
Tomorrow's an off day, and then they'll dive totally into the Broncos on Wednesday.
Okay. Now the Broncos. This is the only good news. You know what I like about this? The Broncos are playing late tonight.
Yeah.
You know, I like that on a Monday night game. They're playing Oakland, which is but Oakland actually, the thing is that like the Oakland players are still looking at their phones right now while they're playing the game because they don't know who's leaving, who's coming, who's going, what's happening. Is AB going to tweet about them? Who knows what's going to happen? That's going to be a distracted team, but you know, Oakland may want to prove something. God knows. That's kind of a dangerous game for that. My only hope is that they get, you know, beat up on a Monday night physically by Oakland so that they're a little not quite ready for prime time on Sunday afternoon in Denver.
Yeah, and it is a fascinating thing. The Bears have 4 extra days to prepare for this game. However, they don't have any film on the Broncos to watch. So, because they haven't played a game yet. So, in one sense, yeah, okay, you got 4 extra days, but you don't really have anything to watch until they actually play a game tonight. I do know Matt Nagy will be sitting there tonight. He said he'll be watching the game very closely. He said there's a lot of things you can pick up off watching the game live. And all the players, too. I mean, I talked to Cody Whitehair today, Roy Robertson-Harris. They said, yeah, we're staying up late tonight. We're going to watch the whole game and watch it because tomorrow's an off day. So, I do think it's a factor that works a little bit in the Bears' favor. However, it is Vic Fangio. Nobody knows this Bears offense better than Vic Fangio
right.
to prepare. On the other hand, though, Matt Nagy, it's like he's going to be facing his own defense here in this game, other than the players will be different, obviously, but it's the same scheme. And so this really is one of the more interesting X's and O's and coaching matchups that you can have in week 2.
What do you expect to see from the Broncos? What are we thinking?
I expect to see a team that is very good defensively, that had some problems stopping the run last year, that had problems on third down last year, two things that Vic Fangio will fix immediately. So I think that'll be an upgrade for the Denver Broncos. On the other hand, I don't trust their quarterback situation. I don't trust their offense at all. And so, you know, kind of looking at this game on Sunday, they're very similar. Two good defenses and two offenses that have a lot of question marks. I would just probably trust the Bears' offensive coaching more than what the Broncos have right now.
There was sort of a cringeworthy tweet from the Bears this week, Adam. I don't know if you saw it, but it said, it says, can't wait to see more David Montgomery next Sunday. Same. And then they show the highlights of his six carries. And everybody's like, what are you talking about? That's like just completely tone deaf, that tweet. We got to see more of him on Sunday, right?
It was like they subtweeted their own head coach.
Right. It was like they're trolling Nagy from their own Twitter account. What are you doing? But anyway, I mean,
it's very popular now, by the way.
Their social media guy.
Where apparently Donald Trump is their social media guy.
I was going to say Antonio Brown got a hold of the Twitter account.
I would be shocked if he doesn't get double digit touches on Sunday. Would you as well, David Montgomery? Who the six carries he had? You could tell that's what we've been talking about. How hard he runs the ball.
You know, it's three of those six carries came in succession in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And so if you think about it that way, you only had three the rest of the game and only one in the second half. And I get it. It's really hard on a play caller, and I say this all the time, but it's true. It's really hard on a play caller when the offensive line is playing poorly and you're picking up nothing on first down. I mean, that's the biggest problem we can go back to on Thursday. They did nothing on first down that put you in second and long, third and long. It just makes everything harder. And I think Matt Nagy could have handled the situation better. I think he could have been a little bit more patient. I honestly think he got frustrated when he went for it on 4th and 10, which just didn't make sense. Kick the field goal or punt there. You have to. And I think he was just getting frustrated because he felt like they should have been in the red zone there. They had a big play that was wiped out because Allen Robinson got pushed out of bounds. And then they had a stupid delay of game right after that. And I think it was just one of those things that just kept snowballing for the players and for the coaches. And it just, I hate to say you could throw out the whole game because you can't. You lost to the Packers in week one, and it is the Packers that counts more in that organization. But I just don't think these problems are going to be problems the whole year.
Okay.
Well, so do you think it'll be a dramatically different Bears team that we'll see on the field in Denver? They're going to work through a lot of this stuff. We're going to see a difference?
I don't want to say that because the Broncos are really good defensively, and it is a tough matchup going up against Vic Fangio. I do think, let's say by London in a few weeks when they're playing the Raiders, and you can't just bank all your success on playing poor teams, but I do think they're going to work out some of these offensive issues and be much better as the season goes along.
Oh, you think that'll be our first win? Is that what you're saying?
Looking ahead.
A question. How do you think Mitch Grossman is going to respond here? In week two?
I don't know. It's a big question. The guy has a lot of pressure on him right now, and I'm willing to admit it doesn't look good. I mean, this thing is not looking great right now. But I will say, after week three last year, that was week three, right? When they played the Cardinals, whatever game that was. He had a rough start to the season last year. And I remember we were a few weeks into the year, and I had the same kind of feeling I have now, where, this doesn't look great. And it was a much different feeling as the season went along. On the flip side, it's a year later, and there's still games where we're having that feeling. And I will admit that is concerning, but there's 15 more games before I think we need to start making definitive conclusions about the quarterback. And I'm willing to be a little bit more patient here.
Okay.
I know it's hard. Okay. I know.
Okay. When does the patience wear thin, though? Because it is year three for Mitch Trubisky.
Now.
He's got to start, right? Yeah. Showing us what he's got.
Trust me, no one has defended this guy and been more patient than me. So, and I'm admitting, it is that to answer your question, it's starting to wear thin here. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to start seeing results immediately. It's a tough matchup this week, though. So
did
I'm
you
not
see what
put all my
Patrick Mahomes did yesterday?
Oh, gosh, yeah, here we go.
Were you wearing your Mahomes jersey yesterday, Ro, while you're sitting
on your
couch?
He's my Mahomie. He's my new Mahomes.
He puts ketchup on his steak. You can't trust anyone that does that.
I'm sorry.
Probably
not
on his hot dog.
On Mahomes.
And on his hot dog, I bet.
I'd take him. I'd take him right now.
I was doing some research, and I couldn't believe this, but I found that the Bears could have drafted Patrick Mahomes.
Have
you ever heard that said on this program before?
I had not heard that.
I feel like that should be like a bigger story, that someone should write that.
Someone should talk about that.
Yeah.
Bring that up.
Oh, and Deshaun Watson just ran into the end zone for the Texans, too. I think he was available as well.
Oh, boy.
No one has mentioned that.
Oh, that does not help.
Oh, sorry.
You bring up Mahomes, and that's
a
dagger in Rose's heart.
I mean, if they're putting Mahomes. Did you notice how they're starting to edge Aaron Rodgers out of that insurance commercial? And they're working.
You did. I saw
they're working
that.
Mahomes. They're working Mahomes into it.
Oh,
yeah.
He's taking over.
Yeah,
he's unbelievable.
Yeah, yes, he is.
Hey, at least he airmailed his no-look pass yesterday.
Yeah, that was embarrassing. He tried to do the no-look thing, but he forced it a little too much and completely airmailed Travis Kelce.
Yes, but he did the no-look pass, the thing with Favre. And did you see that in the video that they did?
I did.
Yes.
And Favre did it, too.
Yeah, it took him a couple, but the no-look pass, they had like a target, and Favre hit it. It appeared on his first try. But you know what? I'm still going to listen. Listen. Every pass I saw that was thrown by Mitchell Grossman, and he shall be Mitchell Grossman till further notice on this program, he was overthrowing or underthrowing or not leading a guy.
It was a bad night.
It was bad, yeah.
And you know what? He can't live on his own wheels. That's not going to do it. First of all, he won't survive as a quarterback in the NFL for very long if he does it. They can't use that. He's got big, long strides. He's a big physical guy. He's capable. That's not what you need in the NFL. That is not what you need. He can also go back to North Carolina. He can do it there.
Yeah, and he was too anxious to run, too. That's right here in my notes watching the tape this morning. I mean, he was bailing too quickly, and I know that's hard when your offensive line isn't really blocking.
Right, that's because Kyle Long is blocking his own guys. That's why he had to run, because he saw it and goes, oh, my God, I'm going to die here.
There were a number of problems.
All right.
Numerous.
I'm sorry to be too excitable, but I got to go. Thank you, Adam.
See you, Adam.
You can see Adam in an hour. Yes. Starting at 8 o'clock right here. And I don't think that Mr. Kaufman's going to treat you the way that I just did. So I just want to say.
He'll be nicer.
He's going to be all right. Okay, thanks. Thank you, sir.
All right. Bye, guys.
There he goes.
Bye, Adam.
Goodbye.
So you feel better or worse after
that? Oh, God. I feel so much worse.
I do, too. Because Adam's like a level-headed guy, right? He weighs the facts and he looks at the tape and he's so detailed and he's not sounding great.
Don Kleppens in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. What's coming up?
Well, Mayor Lori Lightfoot getting a bit expressive about overtime expenses at the Chicago Police Department.